Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Athletics 5-4 last night. Ellie De La Cruz and Sal Stewart scored the game-tying and go-ahead runs off wild pitches in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Reds will try to win three in a row when they play the A's again tonight at 6:40. The Guardians started their series with the Mets with a 6-2 loss yesterday. The Guards will try to bounce back against the Metropolitans tonight with first pitch at 6:40. And a couple of awards nominated for Buckeyes. Ohio State has a pair of players in Kenyatta Jackson and Jalen McLean for the Bronco Nagurski Award. And Ohio State has three linemen named for the preseason watch list for the Outland Trophy: Carson Hensman, Luke Montgomery, and Austin Saraveld. This update is brought to you by Roosters. Roosters is giving away 12 ultimate Buckeye experiences: tickets, sideline passes, and trips to a Buckeye first round postseason game. Register today at roosters.com.
T-Bone and Tyvis, can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Wednesday to you. What's up? I'm T-Bone. He's Tyvis. Good morning, go to hell. Tyvis, how are you?
Wagwan, you bless?
Si, senor. No?
What I love how you go with a different one every day.
I wish I did. I wish I knew enough languages to actually... That boggles my mind, the people who know like six languages. Whenever you hear that factoid, sometimes they'll talk about different people in sports or in the media, and they're like, oh yeah, a little fun fact about them. They speak Russian, German, yeah. Spanish, Italian. You're like,
what a problem.
Well, how the hell do you have time to do anything else? How did you learn all that?
The problem is English is hard enough.
Yeah, I agree.
English is really a stupid language. I don't think people understand how like many contradictions there are in our language and what makes it so hard to learn. And,
yeah.
And they act like people that can't speak English are stupid, and meanwhile they don't speak English that well themselves.
One of the worst, like, it's one of the most embarrassing things to see a human do is when someone is speaking with an accent and they're like, I don't understand. Why don't you talk better? It's like, I don't understand you, MF-er. Like, I don't understand what the words are coming out of your mouth.
You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Yeah, it's just, or you know, I mean, again, I'm not trying to just disparage people from the South, because I'm sure people from New York do the same thing. It's like, hey, speak English. And it's like, hey, how about you? Like, you guys all sound goofy. You know, we have the supposedly the, like, normal accent. Have you ever heard that about people who are like from the Midwest?
Is that the most normal?
Like they say when they tell a newscaster to go on and, you know, say you're from, let's say you're from the South or you're from New York or you're somewhere that has a fairly, or up in Cleveland where everything's like, oh yeah, I'm from Cuyahoga County, Akron. You know that's how they talk. You hear it. You got the Nathan Zagura accent. That's the one. Nathan Zagura sounds like that every time.
It gets me every time he says that.
They don't sound like
that. He drops back to pass.
They don't, like, I don't know what you're talking about. They don't sound like that in your community. But in the suburban neighborhoods of Cleveland, that's what they sound like, okay?
I just talked to Nathan last Saturday.
And he sounds like that.
I didn't feel he came off like that, though.
He does sound like that. Maybe not when he talks to you, but when he's on broadcast mode, that's how he sounds. And I can't personally stand it.
That's his own fault. He shouldn't be in broadcast mode.
But what I'm saying is, like, if you go, let's say you go get a job at CBS or ABC, you're a newscaster. One, you're not getting those jobs unless you've already done this, but, like, when you go to broadcasting school and you start broadcasting, they tell you to get rid of, like, if you have a Southern accent, the accent they want you to have is the one that, like, I'm speaking with now, essentially. The one where you're just, it's not Southern and it's not from New York and it's not, you know.
New York.
Right. It's not that. It's not Boston. Right.
Love that.
Apparently, we have just the plain Jane. No, like,
what about the West Coast?
I was gonna ask, would that just be like the high surfer accent?
Oh yeah, the West Coast, I think it's
surf's
more
up, dude.
You sound like a ninja turtle, bro. Tubular,
like, bro, totally wicked.
Have you ever seen on Saturday Night Live, they have a sketch they used to do years ago called The Californians, and that was, it was a little bit of that, but there's a little more where they
The whole joke was every time they talked about going anywhere, they had to mention all the different freeways by number. So they'd be like, well, you jump on the 405, man, and then you just head down La Brea, and then you get right over to Torrance, and that's where you go. Like, just go to... But that's like, that accent, it does exist. There is a little bit of a California accent.
You know who was from the Midwest that had an accent like that?
Who's that?
Nick Vanette.
Where's he from?
He from Westerville.
Really? Yeah. Nick Vanette had that accent?
Oh, bro.
And he talks like Sunshine from Remember the Titans.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Nick definitely used to talk like that.
Well, I'm not saying that everyone who lives in like Central Ohio sounds like that, because clearly you go to anywhere in any part of Central Ohio, you can be in downtown Columbus and be standing in line at the DMV, and the person next to you be like, "Hi, man, you gonna move up?" Like, it doesn't mean that you don't have that accent. People have that accent everywhere, even up here. But I'm just saying, like, that the one that typically is talked about in broadcasting school is literally to just sound like most people from Central Ohio who are born and raised here typically sound. That's all I'm telling you. So that's crazy, right?
I don't know. Shout out to the Midwest.
It's also a very boring accent, because it's like, well, there is no it's no accent. It's just a normal, I don't know. Like, I don't know what normal is.
Cleveland's in the Midwest, and you know.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds normal to me because I grew up here, but I'm sure if I grew up, like if I went down south, everyone who grew up in the south is like,
oh, they tell you talk crazy.
They'd say I sound weird.
Yeah.
Right. And if you go to New York, all those people.
My family used to do that to me. Like, where are you from? And I'd be like, what are you talking about? I even had like even when I was a kid growing up, like when I got to like high school, like even people that was like from the ghetto and the hood, and I talked to them, they'd be like, where are you from? Why you sound like that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I actually pronounce my words. Like, I actually says all the letters in the words. Like,
right.
And they like, no, you got to shorten that up.
You see, conversations like this is what, like, Tyvus, did you know who Idris Elba was before you started watching The Wire?
No.
Did you know he was British?
Yes.
No, same but thing, that stuff, that yes. throws
same
me
thing
all the
with,
time.
Like, Hugh Laurie. Like, yes. When he plays House, he's got that very dry American accent, and then he's British or English.
I'm so impressed that they're able to do that.
Like, well, isn't Christian Bale's the same way, right? I think he's Welsh, which is, you know, has like a British.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Christian Bale's.
Yeah.
Like,
for
from
sure.
Great Britain.
Wow.
I don't remember. I think it's Wales, but I'm not sure which
it's
one.
It's a lot of, my wife was telling me, because she watched that show on that Apple TV show called Widow's Bay, which is like this hot thing that everybody's watching. And she said, I'm pretty sure she told me the main actor on there is like from a different place. And his English is amazing, because if you listen to him regularly, that's not how he sounds.
I don't have the clip, and I don't think we can find
his name.
It is funny trying to hear British, because we obviously do terrible British accents, I'm quite sure, when we try to do them. But hearing like an average British person, not an actor, trying to do an American accent is very funny as well. I'm sure just as funny to us as it is to them to hear us try to do British accents. But yeah, there we go. Accent talk to start off the show today. Didn't know we would have that. Glad we did.
Don't even know how we got there.
Whoever knows. I don't know. I started it somehow, but I don't remember. So the coaches poll. This is the part of the year where we definitely think the coaches poll matters for all of like 48 hours, and then we completely ignore it the rest of the time. But hey, it's the first poll that is actually out that actually has
who's number one.
Oh, you already know who's number one. The Ohio State University, number one on the list. Number two, Oregon. Number three, Georgia. Number four, Texas. Notre Dame rounds out the top five. Other Big Ten teams, Indiana is in there at sixth. You have us, USC at 14. Michigan at 16, Penn State at 17, Washington at 19, and Iowa, I believe, is the last one at 22.
Did you see the one guy hate on us and say, hate on the Big Ten and say that there is no, the tweet says nine SEC schools play at least five of the top 25 teams in the coaches poll. Not a single Big Ten team plays five.
Yes, that was Peter Burns from literally an anchor on SEC Network. Mm-hmm. So, of course, like, what happened to the anchors? Like, Kirk Herbstreit, when he got the job working at ESPN, first thing he did was be like, I got to tell you, Ohio State, they're nothing. Like, and it's just, Kirk would always take an angle that, like, I don't want to be seen as an Ohio State homer. I played for this team. Last thing I want you to do is think I'm giving you a biased take. So if he ever does praise Ohio State, you know, it's seen as like valid.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But, this
but like, why is it that in the SEC, meanwhile, whenever you flip on SEC Network, it's just like, oh, man, I got to tell you, we got the greatest conference ever. And like even the anchors who aren't like, I don't know what Peter Burns, did he play for a school?
I don't know. But Peter Burns is he needs to do some research before he put out tweets like this.
Right.
Because that was dumb.
Not only is he biased, he's wrong.
Yes.
And thankfully, on Twitter, they added this context, which I do love the community notes on Twitter.
Big fan of Elon Musk, huh?
I'm a big fan of the fact that people community note him every time he posts on that on his own website. I love that. I think it's hilarious. But anyway.
That was dumb.
Oh, it's
but
stupid.
But I love the fact that they did this.
They went and said, readers added context. They thought people might want to know. Ohio State plays six of the top 25 teams. Michigan plays six of the top 25 teams. USC plays five. Nebraska plays five. Minnesota plays five. Washington plays five. Purdue plays five. Like, what are we talking about? Like, the... Also, it's the coaches poll. When did the coaches poll ever matter to anyone? What are we talking about? But that's where the SEC lives now. They are at a point where they have to, one, make up a fake stat, and then two, the fake stat is about something as meaningless as the coaches poll. Good. Let's say that stat was true, that no team in the Big Ten was playing five of their top 25 rivals, whatever. Let's say that was real. All I would do is say scoreboard, three straight national championships. If you, I don't really care about who you think is better, the Big Ten or the SEC. I care about the Buckeyes winning all the games. But
how is this?
If that's what you care about, all you have to do is point at the three national championships.
My question is, how is he working for ESPN? He's got access to all of this information, and he tweets out something this wrong.
Tyvus, the answer, and I'm with you because I have this problem
too.
Where
like
I go, why
people, they don't have people like proofread they stuff?
You, well, not a tweet, no.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, they
I
should.
Mean, all he needs to do is learn how to read to get this right. But well, I'm sure he could have emailed some statistician at ESPN that could have helped him out.
Well, how do he? I genuinely want to know because he did enough research to know. Like, I don't know SEC schedules off the top of my head. I presume someone like him who works for SEC Network might know that, right? So to your point, Tyvus, he probably had to do some research to like go and say, oh, yeah, Texas plays this school, you know, whatever.
Maybe
like he had to do that. But then why wouldn't he just go and take another 10 minutes and look at the Ohio State and Michigan and USC and Penn State and all the other schedules and be like, OK, oh, look, all those teams are in there, too. Huh. It's crazy. It's almost like the two power conferences, the two that most people follow are the ones that have like the most teams in the coaches poll top 25, which we know is made up usually of the SIDs for these schools, not even the coaches, and they don't care.
I think the coaches don't vote on the ones during the season. I do think they vote on the preseason one.
Maybe.
But here's more evidence that makes it dumb. Ohio State obviously had the most first place votes. You know who had the second most first place votes? Indiana, who's sixth overall in the poll, which made me think there was 14 coaches that were like, they're the defending national champion. Let's just vote for them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you, every SEC coach that voted was like zero, not in the top 25. Like they all just hate. They're just hating on Kurt Cignetti because he takes so many shots at them. So it's probably that. Are the Blue Jackets moving from Columbus? We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Right now, we are following some breaking news on the west side of Columbus. Just north of West Jefferson, a portion of 42 is closed in both directions after a crash involving a semi that happened just after midnight. It's all around the Price-Hilliard Road area. So for that workaround, take 42 to some side roads, Kilbury-Huber Road to Lafayette Plain City Road to A.W. Wilson Road, and from there, getting back towards 42, you can also take this vice versa. I'm KenTV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine here for today with a chance for a few showers and storms later on this afternoon, mainly east of Interstate 71. Otherwise, we'll see high temperatures into the upper 80s here for this afternoon. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight says man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Internet, calm down.
The day one of these men answers an email in a timely fashion will be the first day they've ever answered an email in a timely fashion.
The internet is ruining everything.
This is T-Bone and Tybus.
I ain't got time for email.
That one made me laugh.
Shoot me a text. What are we doing? You got emails all the time.
I get emails and I'll check them right then and there on the spot.
I know, because you have ADHD and it's undiagnosed. It's annoying as hell. Because I have it too, and I'm not any better with it. But I like you have the kind that makes you go, oh, an email, and then you immediately ignore whatever's going around you. I ignore the email.
That's not true.
It's the same issue. It's just different formats.
I am very good at multitasking.
You're not.
I hear what you're saying.
I've worked with you every morning.
I hear what you're
saying.
For the
last year plus.
But I hear what you're saying, but I can still type, but I'm listening to what you're saying.
The time where you're sitting there just looking at the YouTube chat arguing with someone, I can tell, like, oh, he's gone.
It's me and
Dylan now.
If you ask me something, probably there's like a 60% chance that I'm listening to what you're saying.
That's more than half. That's not locked in. I can do both things. It's occasionally I may be listening when I'm typing to someone else. That's all I'm saying.
Next time you see me typing,
that's fine.
Try it. Ask me a question.
I will.
You see me typing.
I will.
Let me see if I know.
I'm not going to ask anything. I'm just going to make declarative statements that I know you'll disagree with. Like, Giannis Antetokounmpo is overrated. Richard Sherman's coming on the show next week. And you're like, yeah, yep, sure he is. Yep, that's right. Yep, we got him. We booked him. Yep, he'll be on 8:30, I think. Yep, just stuff that's not true that you don't believe in.
I know for a fact that none of the three of us wrote that rejoin, so that is just a straight shot.
Oh, straight shot across the bow, and that's fine. I don't care. It's fine. Guess what? I'm not answering your emails even more now. I'm just going to ignore them even further. Well, that's going to go. So I saw that there was an article yesterday on Yahoo Sports, and I almost even hesitated to bring it up because it is yet another on the pile of the email or the stories that have been put out this offseason where you have reporters essentially saying, I don't know, gang, I just feel like something about the Blue Jackets. You know, it's an NHL reporter who probably lives in Toronto or at least is based in a original six city who is sitting there going, well, I don't know why anybody would want to play in Columbus. I bet you Zach Werenski wants out. And then whatever happened with the Zach Werenski thing, as far as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. What I understand happened was Zach Werenski was asked by this organization, are you convinced you want to sign a long-term extension? Not this offseason, next offseason. And he said, at this time, I don't know,
okay. Which
totally makes sense given how this franchise has been. But also doesn't mean he's going to shut it down and not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then the question became from the organization, well, would you accept a trade if we traded you if you're not going to commit to signing long term? Because this is a time we could get value for you. And he said, yeah, explore some trades and see what, get back to me.
And so then Dallas hit him up and said, hey.
And he said, I don't want to go to Dallas. Okay. So does that sound, what I'm saying is, does that sound like a guy who's begging out of this situation, or does that sound like a guy who's saying, I'm not ready to commit yet?
Sound like a guy that's not ready to commit. And rightfully so.
Making excuses.
What have they done to make him feel like I should stay here and I'm going to win a cup?
Right. So the reporting technically, I guess, was right that Zach Werenski could be on the move. But the reasoning behind it that the NHL writers were giving often was, well, who would want to play in Columbus? And his argument is, I might not want to play in Columbus, but I want to see what we do here. You know, Rick Bowness is not going to be the coach for the next 7 or 8 years if he signs a long-term deal. What's the plan?
Can he do 1 year?
Yeah, he's just here for the next year, and I'm guessing that's probably it. I don't know. I'm just saying, Zach's probably wanting to know what the plan is going forward beyond that, and I can't blame him. So all that said is the NHL reporters have been technically right on that one, but not really, because they're not understanding the intricacies. They were just looking at it and going, oh, Columbus bad. Boo. And then they want to leave.
It's lazy work is what you're saying.
It is. Well, now you got another one of these. This is NHL insider Jimmy Murphy tweeting out or posting an article basically saying that the Blue Jackets might be heading down the same road as the Arizona Coyotes, which, of course, they moved to Utah and became the franchise that I call Utah Hockey or Utahki.
What is it, a mammoth?
Yeah, they're the mammoth. That's right. But I'd rather them be Utah Hockey because I think that's funnier. Anyway, in this post, Jimmy Murphy, he basically was like, I don't know. They got rid of their radio broadcast, which sucks. Like, I definitely think that sucks. You know how we feel about Bob McKelligan around here. But he went on to say, because of that, they're just selling everything and they're getting ready to sell the team and they're going to relocate the team and it's not going to be in Columbus. And then send tweet, done. That's his logic, was that everything's failing in Columbus, so just go ahead and sell the team and they're going to relocate and that's that. And I think that's lazy work, because I, again, think it's someone who's just not as plugged into what's actually happening here in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could the McConnells sell the team? Absolutely. In the next few years, that wouldn't shock me at all. Should they sell the team? I would support that 1,000% because they are a terrible ownership group, and I'm
who won the
pretty much done with
yesterday?
Them.
I think the Browns won it.
Browns probably, because the Browns win everything.
Was it a landslide?
When it comes to bad. I don't know what the final total was on. I guess we could go look. It's on the Twitter handle, 971TheFan. Go see what it says.
Landslide.
But I could see them selling the team, but that is very different than the team relocating. What was it?
51% Browns, 29% Jackets, 19% Reds.
Okay.
I feel like people don't know ball.
Or puck, as it is in this case, but yeah.
As one of the comments say, it says, the Jackets and Browns have won playoff rounds this millennium. The Reds have not.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. Solid point. All I know is with this Blue Jackets team, if
people
McConnell
still
sells,
cared about the Reds, they would be one. That's what they said.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Well, if the McConnell family sells, which would not shock me if they did, I saw a number that they paid, like Mr. Mack, the initial startup money was somewhere like $100 million or $80 million. This thing's worth $1 billion now. Like... I don't know that I would care that much if you told me every day you come into work, there's a button over here that you can hit that gives you $1 billion and you never have to do this again. Like, I think I might at some point consider hitting the $1 billion button, and they could do that.
If they sell, it's estimated at $1.4 billion.
Okay, okay, right. So
ranks 32nd in the NHL.
Yeah, so they obviously aren't hurting for money. They already have money, but like, they're not the richest ownership group, to be clear. Their net worth is tied up in this team. They are not the most, I would guess, cash fluid ownership group in the history of the NHL. So if they sold, then that leads to speculation of, oh, they'll sell someone who will move them. Let me tell you right now, the people that are going to be the first in line to buy this team, or at least the people that are going to be offered it first before anybody else, is going to be that group that owns a team in this market, a football team up in Berea that plays in Cleveland and soon Brook Park, and a team in Milwaukee. The NHL would much prefer to deal with the Haslams, who are not cash poor. They are billionaires who have the means to do this. They've run other teams.
You saying that the Haslams aren't cash poor?
Not enough for the NHL.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because they got this guy on the radio network that just want a couple more dollars. That's it. I ain't asking for thousands of dollars, just a couple hundred dollars. That's it.
I don't understand the logic that like the Jackets are going to be moved, like sold potentially.
I don't think you want to take them from Columbus, because Columbus support the heck out of them.
It really is a sleeping giant here. They have every means to succeed except for the actual on ice product, which is the most important. But
no,
their fan base here,
they're competing with Ohio State.
Even with that, like, I mean, the Columbus Crew compete with Ohio State too for eyeballs and attention and all that, but they still have an ownership group, which go look up who their ownership group is, that spends money and does pretty good business in this community for what that league requires. No, they're not the biggest club in that league, but they are one of the better business models in MLS. And I'm just saying, yes, the Haslams in Cleveland have their own. That has not gone perfectly. I fully acknowledge that. I think part of what happens with the Haslam Sports Group is that people who work there, who are in ownership, think they know football, love football, are passionate about football, and thus think they should have an opinion on it. But I've watched them as a Crew fan with the black and gold. They don't know soccer, and they don't care to know soccer. They just care to win. So they hire people who know soccer, and they let them do their jobs, and they've been wildly successful. So
they trust the process.
They've won two championships since they've owned the Crew. Like, yeah, I think the Blue Jackets would be much better off with an ownership group like that. And I guess there's a risk they could move them up to Cleveland, but why would you do that?
They got the Cleveland Monsters.
Well, that's their farm team essentially for the Jackets.
Why you need to do that?
I don't know. And
they not
the arena deal
that,
here
they
is pretty
the
sweet.
Crew up to Cleveland.
Well,
so
no,
why
right.
would they move the Jackets?
Right. I think the Haslams would be perfectly fine with if they ever took over ownership of the Blue Jackets. They would be perfectly fine with just letting this thing be run by people who are competent, letting it become something. Mike Priest wouldn't be involved, I would hope. You know, like, they would find people who are competent to run this thing. And I'm not saying Don Waddell is, and I'm saying the people above Don Waddell. But, like, that's what needs to happen, in my opinion, is, you know it's bad when I'm saying you need to let the Haslams get in here and fix this thing. That's not how I usually, I'm just saying, that's how bad the Blue Jackets are managed, folks. That's what I'm saying. Some sad news for me and some good news for Tyvus. Details in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
If you're heading towards the south side of Columbus, especially taking 270, a heads up here, we are seeing a crash right now. 270 in that eastbound direction. It's when you're just passing 23 and right before Alum Creek Drive. We do have that right shoulder block up ahead. Really not seeing any delays because of this, but be mindful, still an active scene out there. Pass by very slowly. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. The only contraband hiding in Tyvus's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
7:45 today. I have your next chance to win Zach Brown Band tickets. Zach Brown Band coming to Nationwide on Friday, August 14th. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster.com, but you'll have a chance to win a couple of them. Coming up in an hour and 15 minutes, so make sure you're here for that. I saw that we were just talking about the Haslams taking over ownership of the Blue Jackets. Not that that's happening, but in my mind, that's the one that I have no inside information on that. I'm not reporting that or anything. That just is the one that if the McConnell family was ever going to sell, I would be surprised if the Haslams are not interested. And I would be surprised if that isn't enough to entice them to do it. But depends on if the McConnell family wants to give it up. But if they do, I think that would be a very interesting change for the Jackets. Now, I am not a fan of all things Haslam, as you know. Browns are building.
I got no beef with the Haslam. They treat me well. They treat me well.
They're like Ohio. The Haslam.
Treat me well.
Except for last year when they were like a month late with your check.
Yeah, right.
That one time where you didn't get your check.
They didn't want to do that. I might have had to go up there and see about them.
Right.
But playing with my money is like playing with my emotions, Smokey.
I saw that apparently as the Browns are building that stadium up in Brook Park, it was asked of them because, you know, the players in the NFL have been chirping a lot this summer watching World Cup games indoors. In some cases, played on natural grass.
Yes.
They're saying, well, hey, hang on a second. You did it for a month with the NFL, with
soccer,
World Cup. Why can't you do it for 4 months for our season? The answer is come back. Now, the Browns' new stadium in Brook Park will have a glass roof.
Yes.
So you will be able to get sunshine in there. You would think that might help a little bit if you wanted to grow some grass. Well, apparently the plan for now, according to the officials in Cleveland, is artificial turf. So they are going to go away from the natural grass surface they have now.
So cheap.
Yeah, Tyvus, I'm with you.
They got to pay you.
That's the answer.
If they're going to do that, then I take a couple more dollars and we're not going to use it for grass. That money got to go somewhere, so why not to me? You know,
right.
I can put it to Trace's college fund.
Yeah,
start
sure.
Start it now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know it costs probably like $1 million or more to keep the grass in a place like that, especially if you're not outside, right? Like the Bills' new stadium, they have to put grass down. They have to maintain it.
Do they have grass
crew.
In there?
Yeah, the new stadium's going to have, they're going back to grass. They had turf, but now the new stadium they're opening, they're going back to natural grass.
Them.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm about to say, because I played on Buffalo stuff, and I'm pretty sure it was turf.
Yeah, well, Mike Florio was pointing this out. Apparently, if we add in the fact that, like, I think the Chiefs, when they haven't decided yet, but they're going to be in a new stadium and theirs will be indoors or have some dome glass, something or other on it.
Yeah. Looks
that
like Minnesota's thing.
Yeah. They are saying there's not been a determination on that, but they said when the Browns stadium opens, if no other stadiums make any changes, that will be one of the first times in league history where the majority of the surfaces will be turf. Artificial and yeah. not real grass.
Because yeah, right so. Now I think it's exactly 50%, 50-50, 16-16.
It's 16-16, yeah.
And the Browns will make it 17-15 if that's the case.
Yeah.
Which, that stinks because, again, like, I get it because it's low maintenance and all of that. And you ain't got to spend a lot of money to take care of it and all that. But like I say, for guys that's getting older, like, you know what it does to your knees and your joints from just standing on it. Like I said, I was at the Browns practice Saturday, and the Browns outside, they got a grass. They practice on grass, but like closer towards the sidelines and like towards where the bleachers is, where the fans sit. They got turf down right there. So that's the part that like the media people stand on. And I was standing on it watching practice, and my knee started hurting from just standing there. So I had to like take a knee like three times because my knee really? Was hurt. Yeah, yeah. So if I feel like that, I can only imagine what the players is feeling like. So to me, I don't understand it. I mean, I understand it from a financial standpoint, but y'all got money. Like, I don't understand why y'all don't want to protect y'all players and then allow them to have more longevity in the sport that's making you money. That yeah. part, that part to me, I don't get.
Well, and I know not everybody feels this way. I tend to feel this way because I think when we watch sports, it is not just about the competition on the field. It's about the aesthetic. It's about the entertainment value. It's about a lot of other things. And I don't know. There's just something that feels like football when a guy gets tackled and gets up, or a big play has happened, and you see that guy stand up and a big chunk of grass is stuck in his helmet, and he's going like, first down, and then a teammate comes over and pulls the grass out of his helmet. Like, he's got grass stains on. Like, that feels like I'm watching football.
You don't like the black pellets?
No, the black pellets flying everywhere. It just feels like, I don't know. It's different.
It's the same thing. You go face first in there, you get up, and it's just a whole bunch of black pellets all on your helmet.
It's not the same, though. You don't get, I don't know, it's weird. I do remember, though, like, because I've obviously never played football. I never played on any of those fields. I never played soccer on a field like, or I didn't play soccer, period, but I'm saying, like, some of those high school fields now around here, they all have that turf stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't realize until one time, I forget what I was doing, but this was many years ago, where I had to like run around a little bit on one of those fields.
What you doing? Was it turf or was it AstroTurf?
No. It was the field turf with okay. the little black pellets. Okay. And I didn't realize.
That's two totally different things.
Yes, it is. But I didn't realize till I did that. Like, I got back to sit down and I changed my shoes and all this stuff fell out of it. And I didn't realize those little pellets just get everywhere.
Yeah, you go. Oh, you taking them home.
Oh my gosh.
They're going home with you for sure.
Why would you?
Again, my mother used to hate that. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want me to do?
Like, I'm sure you see them like 3 days later where you're like, how'd one get stuck in there?
Yeah, you have to vacuum all the time.
Yeah, so that's good. I hope they fix that. I don't know that they ever will.
LW hilarious. He goes, say, let the record show. Tyvus said he was standing in the media area.
Got him.
Yeah, I stood there. Got him. What that mean?
Because you're with the media.
No.
Member of the media.
No,
those
no,
are
no,
your
no,
people.
No. Right. I know him. Yeah, I know him. Yeah. But that has nothing to do with
you're
me.
A member, you're a member of the media.
You like the TV media more than the radio guys, but they're all your people.
Do I like the TV media more than the radio guys?
Yes.
No.
It wasn't a question.
No.
It was a statement.
No, actually, I think I like the radio more than the TV.
By the way, today is Ask Tyvus Anything Day, so you can tweet us at Bone and Tyvus 971 or drop in the YouTube chat. Alex in the chat said, Ask Tyvus Anything. If the Blue Jackets move, will Bone finally agree that the McConnell family are terrible owners? When have I ever said they were good owners? Alex, that's my bad for making you think that that's how I feel. Apparently, I'm not good at communicating. I think the McConnells are one of the worst sports owners in the history of sport. Like, I don't know what we're talking about. Like, no, I don't think the McConnells are good owners.
Are they worse than the Castellinos?
Castellinis.
Whatever.
Down with the Reds?
Yes.
They're in that mix. I mean, the thing that people will defend the McConnells on is that, like, they're so hands off that you never see them, but they are, like, not meddling. They don't, to like the point of how the Browns, you always have to question, is someone from the Haslam family leaning on the scales when it's time to make a decision? Is that being affected in the draft room? Is, you know, that kind of thing. Jerry Jones is like that too with the Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's owners who we definitely feel like are more involved. But regardless of all that, I think there's something about not overstepping your bounds, but also, like, you can just be someone who is around the team, who is occasionally answering for what the team's doing without making decisions. I think the McConnell family is non-existent, and I don't think that's as good as having someone who's at least accountable when the team is as bad as the Blue Jackets have been for years. But Apparently, I'm a big McConnell fan. I didn't know that.
They can
McConnell
hire a Nick Kroll.
Did you see? He did an interview yesterday. He went on the Reds broadcast during their game. He had a suit. He had a suit, a blazer, and a button-down shirt because everyone made fun of him because he looked like a dad on vacation at Disneyland. Like, oh yeah, here's why we didn't make any moves. Yeah, that was good. If Reds are in good hands.
If the Jackets get new ownership, they should bring in Paul D. Podesta to help.
He's out with the Rockies right now, so he's back in baseball. Get him in there.
Have a third professional sport added to his resume.
Please don't. Please do. If you've ever wanted to call plays for your favorite college football team, I just might have some good news for you. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Still watching that semi-crash over on the west side. 42 still closed in both directions right over at Price Hilliards Road. That's just north of West Jefferson, that area. The workaround yet again taking some side roads, including Lafayette Plain City Road, to eventually head back towards 42. You can take this both northbound and southbound. Also, a heads up in New Albany, an 8-minute delay, more traffic reported over by 161 and 62. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
Call now.
Your favorite Fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. All your favorite Fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Everyone on this show was skinny until they met Bone.
There are a lot of fat guys here.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I do. Try to make it happen for my boys. Try to get them, get their weight up, you know? Get the money up, get the weight up. That's the goal. We're always working on here. So, Dylan, I don't even know what I was going to bring up to you here. I thought I saw something in the YouTube chat, now it escaped me. Oh, Coach Beard said at Lambeau Field, you know, we're talking about the natural grass. That Lambeau has hybrid turf, but apparently it's like one blade of like, you know, artificial grass and then a bunch of blades of natural grass. Why can't we get that at more stadiums? The hybrid thing seems like that would work fine. I don't get it.
I mean, better than just all turf.
Yeah,
carpet.
Yeah, I don't know. The carpet stuff is annoying to me. But yeah, it's essentially where we're at now is all the NFL teams are going to go to indoor stadiums with non-natural grass. Tyvus, what the hell was that? You just came in here and jumped up and kicked your feet. I've never seen you do that.
You like that?
That was pretty athletic.
Got to show that I still got it. Yeah. Just in case Jeremiah Smith called me out.
He's not going to. Don't worry.
He should. You know what? He shouldn't.
No, he shouldn't. He should have other things on his plate. I agree with you.
He really shouldn't, because if he does and then I lock him up, like,
you're a mess of his draft stock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
By the way, breakfast-wise, are we doing the White Castle thing today?
We are.
Okay. Now, you ordered some breakfast sliders?
I talked to Ryan Baker yesterday about this.
Yeah.
And he is a fan of White Castle. He says, Tyvus, I'm telling you right now, you're going to love that sandwich. He says, the after effect of that sandwich might get to you, but the sandwich is good. So. Hey.
The Columbus Institution. How could it be bad?
Tread lightly.
I have the opposite problem that most people have with White Castle. It locks up the system. I can't go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm scared.
That's interesting.
I don't know what it's going to do to my system. I don't know how I'm about to react to it.
I've never heard of anybody mentioning that issue specifically. That's unique, yeah. Dylan.
It closes down business.
Okay.
I don't know how or why, but.
Well, have you ever had the breakfast, though? Because maybe the breakfast won't treat you that way. I don't know. So I saw this from Akron Football at Zips FB on Twitter.
Like their official account.
This is their Twitter account.
What'd they say?
Make history and be the lucky season ticket holder to design the opening drive of the home opener when the Zips host Robert Morris. So obviously not Akron Zips. That's like their... Let me pay you to come up here and get beat.
Yeah, but Robert Morse, FCS.
Right.
Western Pennsylvania.
Sure. Okay. So you get to be one lucky season ticket holder will get to be the offensive coordinator of the game is what they're calling it. Now, you're not actually going to be the offensive coordinator for the entire game. But it says one lucky fan will be able to script the opening drive in our home opener. And then next to the word opener, there's a giant asterisk. And it says, with the head coach, of course, this hasn't been done before, but we're not crazy. They said, you will get it. You will, though, get to help them game plan the first series of plays. And then you get an extra chance to win with every new season ticket holder you refer. So they are trying to get people, one, to buy season tickets, and then two, to encourage their friends to buy so you get more entries into this. There'll be a random drawing among season ticket holders. Drawing will be held on August 19th. So you've got, you know, a couple weeks to get this done.
Tyvus looks very,
how do you feel about that?
Unimpressed and unamused.
How excited would you be as a defensive player to know that some fan drew up, I don't know, how many are on a script? 4, 5 plays? 13?
I thought it was like 10 to 15.
Well, whatever it is, I don't know how many they're going to let them script, but let's say they have the first, like, you know, 10 plays scripted.
What's going on here?
What do you mean, what's going on here?
We live in an alternate reality.
What's going on?
We live in a simulation.
What do you mean? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, hold on. This, don't get me wrong. The Zips ain't winning nothing, okay?
Well,
this
no,
is how far we've fallen. This is where they must be really hurting on the NIL side, that they trying to find a way to get some money, because this is ridiculous.
I bet. Have you seen their campus?
Yeah. I actually went there when I was in high school being recruited. Akron is like 20, 25 minutes away from where I was living. So like when I got my offer from there, I'm like, I went there. And then I knew a guy who was like playing on the team there. So like I went to watch one of like their spring practices and things like that. And yeah, I seen the campus, and they was, I don't think they had won a game, and they probably ain't won one still since then. So I'm just saying, this is ridiculous. First of all, to answer the question, it's a first 15, you script the first 15 plays.
Okay.
So that means that you, no matter what the defense is doing, you running these 15 plays first, because right, you want to get an idea of how they're going to play certain things. And then boom, you start to deviate from that and you make your own adjustments and blah, 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 blah. However, there is no way. Could you imagine they do this at Ohio State?
You know what? At first,
this is so unserious.
At first, I said Ohio State shouldn't do this. They're way above this. And then I thought, they're so superior to their opening opponent almost every single year.
It's actually a flex. Like, I don't know if Akron may cause Akron problems, but like at Ohio, no, if Ohio State's playing Ball State and you got someone who comes in and is like, yeah, coach, I got the first 15. Don't you even worry about it. And he's like, all right, play number one, four verts, you know, like
that's probably, I guarantee
you probably that goes for a touchdown.
I guarantee
it probably goes for a touchdown.
If you let a fan call the first play, like legit, let him run, he's throwing a bomb.
Of course he is. There's a good chance it connects.
Was at Robert Morrison and I knew that this was happening, I'm playing off on the, you know what I'm doing? I'm bailing on the snap. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to show press to make him believe that he about to throw this fade. And as soon as he say go, I'm bailing and I'm going to go ahead and bait this pick, because he's going to throw it regardless.
Yeah, I feel like it's a fun thing to do when you're Akron. And certainly what I hope they do, when they select this,
they better not do this.
No, they're going to.
They better not do this.
It's already happening. It's to sell season tickets.
People lie all the time.
No. They said they're going to have to meet with the head coach, right? So you're going to come in, and the head coach is obviously probably going to tell you what to do. But I want to see the video of this, because I just picture in my head, the fan comes in, Mr. Akron Zips, right? Mr. Fear the Rue, whatever their slogan
is. Fear the Rue, baby.
Yeah. That guy comes in, gilded out in all of his Akron gear. He's like, coach, I got some great plays. Now, do you have a PS5? And then he like immediately pops in like Madden and is like, all right, let me get to my plays here. Hold on just a second. He's like with the controller, just scrolling to the plays he wants. He's like, all right, that one right there. Like that one. That's what I picture happens in this
moment.
If
the play ain't I right wiggle 24 switchblade, then you wrong.
What does that even mean?
You don't know what that is?
No.
That's off of Friday Night Lights. It's the last play.
Oh, I
know. Well, what they say on Remember the Titans? Dang it. What was
you
the
know
play?
It. You've said it
I
before.
I said it. I know, and I can't remember what it is. Something with a George Revert. Wow, man. I forgot the play.
See, I can't. I've never been able to like understand football jargon when it comes to the plays. I have no idea.
23 blast with a backside George Revert.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, by the way,
that's it.
Or Spider 2Y Banana. We got to have
that. Yeah, that's
in
the
there.
John Gruden play, right? So, by the way, an update on White Castle. The power of this show continues to know no bounds. Meat Sweats, one of our, you know, regular listeners.
Oh, he harassing them?
Well, he found out yesterday because he was like, you got to go try the waffle slider, which is like a mini waffle sandwich that they do, or they used to do a waffle at White Castle. They got rid of it, apparently. He was mad about this, so he tweeted them and said, WTF, bring back the waffle slider. He tweeted at them, WTF, bring back the waffle slider. It was goat breakfast sandwich. White Castle's official account replied and said, we'll be sure to pass this along to our culinary team.
Oh, so, man.
Nice. They're sitting there like, oh, meat sweats is on the case. Can't have meat sweats upset. So I'm going to say that's we're taking that as a W for this show. If it gets brought
added
back
to the resume,
yeah, because he's a part of the show. Meat sweats. We're claiming him as part of this show.
Sweats, funny for him.
The reigning national champs just got even better. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Slowdown starting to form pretty early on this Wednesday morning. That includes our southeast corner, of course, 33 in that westbound direction at Gender Road, which is over by Canal Winchester. Also, a heads up, a little bit slower moving right now, 70 over by 33. That interchange just south of Bexley. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Athletics 5-4 last night. Ellie De La Cruz and Sal Stewart scored the game-tying and go-ahead runs off wild pitches in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Reds will try to win three in a row when they play the A's tonight at 6:40. The Cleveland Guardians started their series with the New York Mets with a 6-2 loss yesterday. The Guards will try to bounce back against the Mets tonight with first pitch at 6:40. And finally, Ohio State offensive linemen Carson Hensman, Luke Montgomery, and Austin Sarrivelt were all named to the 2026 Outland Trophy preseason watch list, while Kenyatta Jackson and Jalen McClain are on the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property, call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer. 614-470-2000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Remember the time producer Dylan said that Alabama should be in the playoffs and that Tyvus started yelling at him? Those were good times. And remember later that day when Tyvus punched him in the face? Oh, classic stuff. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
Got tickets to give away. Zach Brown Band, 7:45. We will do that. A pair of tickets could be yours. You listen in, we'll have your chance to win coming up then. He's coming to Nationwide on August 14th is Zach Brown. So that is next Friday. Something to keep an eye on. We'll have tickets for you, like I said, coming up. By the way, it's been a while since we've done this, Stained. But Tyvus, this isn't our traditional way of doing it. But I figured we're all here with food now. You brought us food. You purchased the food. We're going to do an impromptu game of your favorite segment. Now,
well, Dylan already.
I didn't know we were doing this. I already ate one.
It's fine. Well, we're not really doing the game anyway because usually when Tyvus eats a thing, he has to guess the price. But Tyvus bought the breakfast food today.
Guess how much I paid for this, Dylan? Take a guess.
I'm going to go with $16.
Close. It was actually like $17, but due to the fact that I used my Amex card, they give me $15 of like cash plus another $10 for something else. Make a long story short, I paid 27 cents for it.
Hey, look at that. Nice.
What's the, do you use Uber Eats or do you use DoorDash?
This is Uber Eats.
I like it. We're just going to give away all the advertisements. We got White Castle, we got Amex Reed in there. You got now DoorDash and Uber Eats, apparently. We're just giving it away.
My bad.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers. Give it away now. Yeah, that's what we got to do. Good job. I just tried the bacon, egg, and cheese. Pretty good.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll start there.
Have you never had White Castle?
I haven't had breakfast White Castle.
Oh, okay.
Ever.
I was going to say, you've had White Castle, though. I was hoping that would be the case.
I feel like at most fast food places, I'm a bacon over sausage person, but yeah, when I'm getting it somewhere, most of the time I feel like the sausage is better than the bacon.
Yeah, I was saving the sausage, actually, because it looked like that would be the one I would enjoy more. The bacon was fine.
I went the opposite route. I would enjoy the sausage more, so I ate it first. And I ate it fast.
See, I thought I would enjoy it more, so I'm saving it. It's delayed gratification.
I saw
though.
It was like 90 seconds to my update. I was like, yeah, I can do it.
You can with a slider. I'll tell you, we have like at our household, Tyvus is still eating the thing, so we'll get his thoughts in a second because his mouth is full. But we have been eating so many sliders at our house lately because we found these recipes online for the like King's Hawaiian or one of those type of where you get them out of the package and they're just all together.
Yeah.
You slice it lengthwise. Like a big piece of bread, flip the tops of them off, put on your topping, stick that whole thing in the oven with a little butter on top.
Mm.
Delicious. We've done chicken that way. We've done beef that way. Ground beef. We put stuff like toppings on it, burger topping.
That sounds super easy.
We eat that all the time now. Like probably once every couple weeks, we're throwing that in the oven. And it's been that's like all summer. It feels like we've been doing that. So that's what this reminds me of, this little slider bun. What do you think of this slider breakfast sandwich, Tyvus?
The bacon one good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think how could you screw this up? Only thing I would like on it is some kind of sauce.
Yes, that's what
it needs, a sauce. But
I'm more of a hot sauce guy.
Sure, that'd be fine.
Right, if you wanted to throw some mayo on there, that's fine.
Now I would go with I would mix the two.
Your ketchup,
a spicy mayo go on there. It'd be great.
Eh, I only use spicy mayo when I'm like eating sushi.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't. Well, is that a thing on sushi?
It's like sriracha. It's like a spicy sriracha.
That's not mayo, though. That's just like a spicy sauce.
It's spicy mayo.
What's your...
Sriracha's not a mayo. It's
No. Like
it's spicy. You put that in mayo.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see.
Like sriracha mayo.
I thought I was going crazy.
It's what I said. Spicy mayo.
All right, whatever.
What is your guys' choice of sauce to put on a burger?
Ooh.
What's on it? What's on the burger? If it's got like bacon on it, it's barbecue sauce every time.
What if it doesn't have bacon on it?
Ketchup. Ketchup and maybe mayo, but I do ketchup and mustard. I don't know. It just depends on how I'm feeling.
I'll tell you, if it's bacon, lettuce, tomato situation, I'm going mayo.
Barbecue sauce.
No, I'm going mayo on it. I'll do barbecue sauce as well, but a little mayo on that, it's a perfect lubrication.
I don't know about putting mayo on a burger, but if I go to a burger place and they don't have a house sauce that they put on it, then I'm like, the burger probably ain't that great.
I agree with you.
But
the house sauce is usually like, the house sauce is usually a mayo based thing.
Tyvus, I haven't been to Five Guys in about 5 years because it's armed robbery.
Does McDonald's have a house sauce?
Yeah.
Mac sauce.
Bang.
Mac sauce.
Dude, down it. Bang.
Yes, they do.
Dang.
That's right. So I saw this. The reigning national champs just got better. Indiana football. You know that rule that came down last week? The ruling that now if you have the 5 for 5, you can get your eligibility back?
Arby's.
Yeah, I wish it was here. They had said that guys who were from the 2022 class, like a Bruce Thornton, to give an example at Ohio State, right? Mm-hmm. A guy who played 4 straight years, no injuries, no real major time off, no red shirt. They said he's done. Like, well, a judge came out last week and said, nope, players are not done if they haven't gone to the pro ranks, if they haven't gone to their signed a pro contract, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Stephen Daly, who was, I believe, one of your guys last year that you talked about a lot.
He was good.
Yeah, that for dude, Indiana.
He was like, I want to say he led the Big Ten in TFLs last year.
He had 18 of them.
Is he the one who got hurt in like the Big Ten
championship? Yes, he is. He's the one who was celebrating
with the fan. He jumped up to high-five the fan and like messed his leg up.
Yeah, missed the rest of the playoffs, I'm pretty sure.
That's him.
Well, he didn't get drafted. They said... Something I read said in part because of the injury. That shocks me that like... If his injury was that bad that he couldn't get drafted by the NFL, then I don't know how he's going to be healthy enough to play college football. But apparently he is going to play because now the judge came down this past week and said, you can have your 5th year if you were one of those 4 years and done guys. He qualified. So they said, per the Colorado judge's ruling, he's back, baby. He's joining their defensive line.
You know what I'm curious about?
What's that?
Did they lowball him?
On what? Money?
Yeah.
Oh, the NFL?
No. Indiana. I lowball them.
Why?
What other choice you got?
Well, I mean, that's fair.
Listen,
I don't think you can transfer.
At some point.
Unless he was in the transfer portal, you're right. He can't transfer anywhere.
Yeah, what choice you got? I think at some point, like, the cutthroatness of football is softened. Like, it's not as cutthroat as it used to be.
Hmm.
And I think it needs to get back to that.
Why?
Because it makes people, like... It makes players lock in a little bit more when you know, like, you can get cut at any given moment. Like, nowadays, they work with you, give you a while and stuff like that. Now, they need to go back to, listen, we ain't got to do nothing. You need us more than we need you. And it just makes people lock in just a tad bit more.
Is that what happened?
It takes
with you?
Away job security. People feel more secure in their jobs now, and I think that that's not good.
Do you think that helped you when you were playing?
Yes.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you told the story about Urban's. We were talking about Akron earlier. Urban was like getting you a ticket to Akron, wasn't he? Like he was pretty much.
I had to lock in. He was like, "I'll sign whatever transfer papers you want." And I'm like, "I'm cool."
Well, for Indiana, I don't know what they're going to do this year. I know a lot of people are fading them this year, saying they're not going to be as good as they were last. Well, they went 16-0 and won the national championship last year. Yeah,
so, well, the odds is already against them because,
of course,
going back to back is tough.
Of course, it is. However, what I will say about Indiana football, I think you can say this unequivocally about Kurt Cignetti's teams. They are going to beat the ever-loving you-know-what out of you up front. Like, they do not mess around when it comes to that offensive line and that defensive line.
You got a very old-school approach where it's like, I care about the trenches.
Yes.
Trench play matters, and it does. It makes a huge difference. The crazy thing about them, though, is that they're not like Miami. Like, their defensive line wasn't like Miami,
no,
where it's like, physically, we just gonna, you know, beat you physically. No, they was scheming a lot of this stuff, and these guys was getting home.
Stephen Daly's 6'1", 273, as a defensive lineman.
273?
Like, I mean, he's
still
a big, he's a
good,
he's a big guy, but he's not like, I'm just saying, I don't think he has, like, the biggest arm. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're always looking at reach and bend and all that. Like, he's a fantastic player.
Did you see the...
But I don't know that he is, to your point, like, how Reuben Bain was at Michigan. That's just, or at Michigan, at Miami. That's, like, a different... That's just like a different level freak athlete type guy. And then he also is talented and worked hard and all those things.
That man played the game like a grown man. Speaking of, did you see the rep of Reuben Bain? It was either, I might have been yesterday, where he did one-on-ones with a tackle.
Where's he at now? Tampa?
Tampa. Oh, ooh, man. It didn't look good. It didn't go well for him.
It didn't?
Oh, man.
Oh.
Them little short arms.
Uh-oh. I forgot. You know what? I was talking about arm length, and I brought up Reuben Bain, who's like actually does have the short arms. That's not good. It's probably not a good comparison on my part. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think the Hoosiers are still going to be tough to play just because they care about the defensive line. And now adding this guy back, if he's healthy, like Stephen Daly's healthy, that's... I think they're going to be a problem is all I'm saying. I don't know if they're going to win the national championship again. I don't think they're going back to back, any of that, but they are. You better bring your lunch pail when you play those guys. It's going to be tough. Shedeur Sanders and Deshaun Watson are both ass. That's not my opinion. I'm not saying that. I want to be very clear. That is the opinion of the people who run the NFL. Also, your eyeballs could probably confirm that too if you need them to. But we will tell you about that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still watching some slight slowdowns in our south side of Columbus, 270 eastbound. A lot of people using that Alum Creek Drive ramp to head towards that area. Also looking at a 7-minute delay right now for our New Albany drivers. No incidents to report in this area. Just a lot of people really congesting that 161 and 62 interchange, at least as of right now. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan Traffic.
Buckeye football fall camp is coming. Will Julian Sayin take his game to the next level? Will Matt Patricia's defense dominate again? Join us live for training camp fun starting Thursday, August 6th. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine here for today with a chance for a few showers and storms later on this afternoon, mainly east of Interstate 71. Otherwise, we'll see high temperatures into the upper 80s here for this afternoon. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Every time Tyvus laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Ask Tyvus Anything coming up at 7:30. You can get us your Ask Tyvus Anything questions at Bone and Tyvus 971 The Fan.
All that is great.
On Twitter.
But did you know that Ohio State fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is here? You can join us tomorrow through Saturday at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Ohio State's Ohio State's training camp presented by Safe Flight and Bob's Discount Furniture. The Fan is live. We'll have us tomorrow. We'll be kicking it off 6 to 9. Morning Juice will be right there. Is they going to be next to us like they were last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they was like right next to us, 6 to 8. They're on YouTube. Bishop and Franz will pass it off to Bishop and Franz. And on Saturday, Fan Sports Saturday will be there 10 to 1. If you want to go, secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of Buckeye Nation's kickoff to 2026. The gates open at 8 with practice kicking off at 9. Ooh, we are here.
Oh, we are indeed. Yeah, it's time.
Did they do the check-in? When is the check-in? Like they don't, when all the reporters go to the hotel and take
I don't know, but
I feel like they do it like after practice, like now, like after it starts. Usually it'd be like now, today.
See, you're asking the wrong person because I'm someone who looks at it like,
who cares?
It's one, we're already seeing, like, there's round the clock coverage of all these. Like, you can follow any of these dudes on Instagram if you're really that into it and you want to know what's going on in their personal lives, what shirts they wear when they're not at football practice, but also like, they go to practice first, and then I think it's like on the third day they check them into the hotel. So it's like, well, we just saw you
running around.
I don't know.
When did that start?
Also,
happening?
It's just, I don't know, man. I know that these guys are all millionaires now, or a lot of them are. I know there's a lot of dudes getting paid a lot of money to play college football.
They're going to put all their jewelry on.
It feels weird to watch 57-year-old man stand out there sweating with cameras, taking pictures of like 19-year-olds walking into a hotel. Like, I know it's the job. I know it's whatever. It just feels weird to me. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying it's weird, and so I don't engage. So I don't know when it is.
I couldn't imagine.
But for me no thanks.
Having that money and taking the boy, I put on all my jewelry. I have all my jewelry on walking in that hotel.
How much did you, were you a big jewelry guy, like when you were in college or when you got some money in the NFL? Did that ever like?
No, I've never. What you see now.
That's is, what you wear.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I've always kept like a little chain that I always tuck.
Yeah,
it's never out, and that's about as far as I go.
Yeah, that's
but if I ever get some real money, like big bucks, I am gonna get a Rolex.
Oh, I would get a Rolex. Get a Rolex. If I had that type
I'm gonna
of
take
money.
My Apple Watch and throw it in the Olentangy River, and I'm gonna rock that Rolex.
You see that? What's the AP? What's that brand? I forget what the brand of watches.
Audemars Piguet. What about it?
Did a
I know somebody got
combo
that.
With Swatch.
Cardale got one of those.
Oh, he's got an AP?
So when I used to drive his truck, he used to keep it in the truck. And when I drive, I put it on.
I tell you, that's good. That has to feel good.
Yeah, look at that.
I like how you kind of cosplay Cardale Jones's life. Is what you drive his car, you wear his jewelry.
What a life. By the way, life that guy
they're
lives.
Calling him Mr. AP and Mr. AK. That's what they're calling him. That's
keep it right there in his car, in his glove box. I used to always be like, "Let me see this. I want to see what it like to have one of these." Type
I feel
of
like you
on.
Can't have one in the car without the other. I feel like you got to have both. If you're going to keep an AP in the car, you might as well keep something else next to it.
Well,
just in case.
You know
it
with him. You never know.
Never know. Indeed.
Just never know.
All right. So the Athletic did their top. Quarterback tiers. They do this every year where they pull like I think it's 50 different people who work in the NFL either at the coordinator level, head coach level, or like scout or GM type level, right? So people who watch football, pay attention to football, it's their job to know football. They ask them to do the quarterback tiers. Okay. So of course we're going to focus on, hey, where did they have the Browns quarterbacks? Well, they had both Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders ranked like below 30 in the quarterback. But the tier system they have, there's like tier one is like these are the elite guys.
Yes.
Pat Mahomes is still like the number one guy,
I think,
according to them.
It was four quarterbacks in the elite. It was Joe, Matt, Pat, and Josh was the four.
And I feel like
and
those
Lamar
are,
was fifth, which was right tier two.
Yeah.
Which
they put Lamar tier in tier two?
Yes, they did.
They did.
Man, the Lamar Jackson slander this offseason has gotten... I thought it was out of control when people were saying he needed to go play running back.
Well,
this is almost just as bad.
They had Josh Allen and Matt Stafford tied at two. Pat Mahomes was one. Joe Burrow's four. And then Lamar Jackson is the first one in tier two. And you might think, well, that doesn't sound too bad. But tier two encompasses the following
it's
quarterbacks.
I'm going to say.
Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Drake May, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence, and Jalen Hurts. They have in the same category as Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's disrespectful AF.
Now, they ask these different GMs and executives and coaches, put them in a tier. One, two, three, four, or five, I think is the worst you can get. And obviously, like, the guys who start, no one is below, like, a tier four. But that tier two thing, now Lamar Jackson falls down into that. I'm with you guys. I think that's a little weird. For what it's worth, Pat Mahomes apparently was not a unanimous tier one guy for, like, the first time, you know, since they've been doing this. So I guess that even speaks to him a little bit, some question. But they still have him as the best quarterback in the NFL. So where do they have the Browns quarterbacks? As we mentioned, Joe Burrow is at four, and I think that's still, as long as he's healthy, he still belongs there. Question is always going to be, can he stay healthy? They have Deshaun Watson at 31. They have Shedeur Sanders at 35. Both of those guys are in tier four.
Yes.
But they actually had Cam Ward in tier three. He's 25th. He's the one who uttered those words. But they had a few stats on both these guys, okay? They do a little write-up on every quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson's, they said he is one of 60 quarterbacks to start at least 10 games since the Browns acquired him in 2022. Of those 60 quarterbacks, he ranks 59th in estimated pass attempts per pass play. Like, so he is one of the worst. The actual worst is Zach Wilson, in case you're wondering, at 60. So that's not great. Offensive coach said, because again, all these are anonymous.
Oh, this is from The Athletic.
Yeah, The Athletic did this.
Jason Lloyd did this.
No, he didn't fill it out, Tyvus. If he helped, he interviewed coaches. He asked people questions.
I should have asked him about this.
No, he didn't write this. But one offensive coach said about about Deshaun Watson, I don't think he can come back. You do not all of a sudden get drive and desire and processing skills. He showed he had none of that with what he put on film. A former GM said, I don't even know what to do with him. It's been so long, it's almost like a no grade with him. He could be anything from a tier three to a tier five. Yeah, like, not a ton of optimism.
Yeah.
Now, Shedeur Sanders,
which is why nobody understands why it's even a competition. Like, what are we doing?
Well, here's why. The quotes about Shedeur Sanders got a lot of play, too. One executive said he's inaccurate at all three levels. I can't tell if he's going to get better, but there's a huge gap between him and competent quarterback play. Ouch. Damn. That is not nice.
Damn, that's hateful.
Another defensive coordinator said, I'd sleep like a baby if we got to play him every week.
Wow. That might be the worst one.
That one's
definitely the worst one.
I'm trash.
I tell them they better put some Folgers in their cup, dude. Because as bad as he is, that man still won some games last year. So it's like,
they're saying that, like, we feel pretty good about being able to defend him. This is another coordinator said he's not an on-time player. He can't really read through the coverages. He's a little bit heavy-footed. He's thicker and harder to tackle than expected. But you shouldn't lose to him. All right, so, like, these are the two quarterbacks the Browns are trying to decide on who should start. That's why I keep telling you, like, this quarterback battle does not matter.
What did they say about Dylan Gabriel?
They didn't even rank him. Why would they?
What's he done?
Yeah, he's not even in this. But, yeah, they were all very high on Joe Burrow. They all had glowing things to say about him.
This
and
would be,
as they should. I mean, the Bengals obviously have far more upside with their quarterback situation than the Browns do, but on the Joe Burrow front, it's not really a question of him. It's if that team can actually get over the hump and support him defensively so that this team can, the offense that continues to be great, can actually go win them some games now.
I tell you what, by the end of this season, there will be a half of the fan base that will say, I told you so, while the other half is like searching for their face.
What do you mean searching for their face?
To pick it back up.
Yeah, because, to say that.
Yeah, because whether Shedeur Sanders are good or bad, somebody's wrong. So a portion of this fan base is wrong.
I think, honestly,
opposite, they're like, hey.
So this is what I find interesting, Tyvus, because you tell me all the time up in Cleveland, there's like a faction of people in the media, some of who you deal with all the time, who are like, not, I think Shador's slightly better. They're like Shedeur fans, more or less. Right? Like,
yeah.
That. Okay. Yeah. And I'm saying, I don't think that exists outside of Cleveland. I think in Cleveland,
whoa,
like, lines have been drawn about, whoa, like, who's going to be the, I'm saying outside of Cleveland, everyone else is like, that's cool. Good. It's like,
I think he got a good fan base.
I like Shedeur. Like, I want him to do well. Yeah. I just have eyeballs is all.
But right. I'm not talking about being fans necessarily. I'm saying, like, comparing what you've actually seen with the Browns quarterback situation. It feels like two people arguing over whether something you're looking at is a ditch or a pothole. And it's like, either way, no one wants to be a part of that. And this is kind of a meaningless argument. Don't hit it with your car, I guess. But who wants to be a part of this argument outside of diehard Browns fans, which I get. Some of us who are Browns fans do want to know who's going to play quarterback, but I don't think it's going to matter at the end because both these guys suck.
I guess that's going to be an interesting thing. I am continuous to say it should the quarterback competition shouldn't be between Shador and Deshaun. It should be Shador and Dylan. I would probably start Shador, see how things go there, and if it's going well and everything's going well, boom, there it is. But if it goes bad, then you pivot late in the season, switch to Dylan, see what you got there. But you probably at that point is already thinking about drafting a quarterback anyway.
The fact Dylan Gabriel's even in this conversation tells you everything you need to know.
Dylan is doing his thing in camp.
He's doing his thing.
I got to see it. You know, I have to see it in joint practices and preseason games. But in practice, he don't look bad at all.
This is going to be my attitude. I have to, as a Browns fan, do this. My attitude now, whenever we hear updates on, is it Shador? Is it Deshaun? Is it Dylan Gabriel? I'm going to be Jude Bellingham.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, go ahead. But whoever's out there, when I see them go play, then I'll have judgment when they actually play. But
another news.
This argument about, oh, no, they didn't pick my guy, I don't care.
And other news?
Neither of them are my guy.
The Buckeyes that got drafted this year?
Yeah.
They all seem to be doing well. I seen the Carnell Tate bomb yesterday.
With Carnell Tate. It's just another one of those.
Sonny Reed a run on the goal line and stop it cold.
Oh, I thought you said I saw Sonny Reed, and I'm like, who? Sonny Styles.
Read something, stopped it cold.
That's good.
Who else is out there? Caleb Downs stopped it cold.
Filling gaps, doing his thing.
Yeah. Right.
Ask Tyvus anything. Gonna fill our gaps coming up in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus. Pause.
Yes.
T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. Still not seeing any major crashes to report out on the roads this morning. And especially if you're traveling through Grove City, all your routes look great. 270 in both directions, 62, even 71 in that northbound direction when you're heading towards Greenlawn Avenue. Not seeing anything too concerning as of right now. Also looking pretty great towards that western outer belt. 270, only a 6-minute commute between 33 to Roberts Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan
terms. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. If your kid is complaining about not wanting to go to school, blast the volume on this show. You won't have any more problems. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, by the way, we have tickets to give away coming up at 7:45. Zach Brown Band tickets, two of them. He'll be in town Friday, August 14th. You can find out more at Ticketmaster.com. Tyvus, are you ready to answer the people's questions? Get to the nitty-gritty.
We'll see. We'll see, because they get out of line sometimes.
Well, we'll see if they stay in line today.
Get to know your resident national champion. It's time for Ask Tyvus Anything.
Sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Reliable, local, built right. Request your free roof assessment today at RamosRoofing.com.
All right. I believe before we get into the actual messages that we've received, I think, did we get a voicemail, Dylan?
We did.
All right, let's go.
Good morning. We'll go to hell. My name is Pick and Pull Bob. I own a junkyard over here in Groveport. My Ask Tyvus Anything question is, have you bought a car yet? Because I won this last night at a poker game where my neighbor's wife refused to pay out on his bet. So he offered me this beauty. It's a 1967 Buick Electra 225. We call that a deuce and a quarter.
Mm.
Now, Tyvus, this car is 19 feet long. It's unique, just like you. It's got a powder baby blue coat. Beautiful, just like you, okay? AM, FM, original 8-track tape player. Now, the caveat to that is, are not able to use it, okay? It's got a tape in there. I'm a believer by the Monkees, okay? It just plays on repeat. I think I'm right up your alley.
What are your thoughts, Tyvus?
You interested? Are you in the market for a used 64 Buick? Apparently,
I'll ride that deuce and a quarter. What you mean? Don't threaten me with a good time.
I like he that. Said, Dylan, when did that voicemail come in, by the way, out of curiosity?
Midnight last.
That sounds like a...
Yes.
Definitely sounds like a midnight, absolutely, a late night call.
He said it's a tape stuck in there.
That's good. Alex the King said, ask Tyvus anything. Not that I want Paul Keels or Jim Lachey to retire soon, but when that day comes... Who can you see taking their place in the booth, and why is it you and Timmy Hall?
I wasn't going to let her take a third finger after she originally said she only wanted two.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
That would not be the case. Timmy might be able to take a job. I think that... I feel like Bobby would be the one that would try to replace Jim Lachey. I think he does a really good job of doing that. So I think Bobby Carpenter would be probably next in line.
If I had to guess.
Are you interested? Again, I don't think any of that's happening anytime soon. Yeah, but whenever it does,
it better not. Like,
if they came to you, let's just say hypothetically that all was available.
Hypothetically
and they said,
speaking, if they said
Tyvus, you get to be the you know, essentially the analyst for Ohio State's radio network on the football side. You're not turning that down.
I would say, how much does it pay?
That's the right answer.
Well, you gotta think.
Right answer.
Yeah,
of course.
Think, it would. If I take that, then my Big Ten tailgate days are done.
Your days here might be done,
Tyvus,
too.
Would you honestly think that, I can't be the main guy on Ohio State football. I gotta do Big Ten tailgate? Like, come on. You're a Buckeye fan. You're a Buckeye former athlete. Like, what are we talking about? Like,
I agree.
That's one of the biggest honors you can get.
I also have a family to support, too.
I got to tell you, I think they're doing well. I think, as old Camp likes to say, I think Ohio treats you well.
Oh, well,
when
if
you
that's
go,
the case.
Yeah, I think that
sign
happens.
Sign me up!
I have kids that I have to feed.
That's right.
Little tsunami.
Uh-huh.
Rusty in the chat said our boy Tyler Danberg instead of Timmy.
Tyler Danberg.
We got to put some respect on his name.
Danberg is actually like doing play-by-play on the regular.
Right.
That's true. Yes, that's right. SWK Bearcat said, ask Tyvus. I've seen some NFL players who are into anime. Did you ever watch any anime when you were a player? And if so, which ones?
I did not watch it when I was a player. I watched it as a kid.
What was the anime that you watched as a kid?
Dragon Ball Z, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon,
okay,
all those things. I did try to get into One Punch. What is it, One Punch Man or something like that?
I know what you're talking about. Hold on.
I tried to get into that late, like when I was, what's that? I might have been in the NFL now that I sit here and think about it. I watched a couple of episodes of that, but like I didn't lock in
I mean, I know he's saying there's lots of guys who like it, but wasn't there the running back for the Lions who then I think went
Jameer
down to the...
Gibbs.
Yeah, no, not
David
him.
David Montgomery?
No, who left the Lions and went down to... Who am I blanking on? Wasn't there a running back who went from the Lions down to the Saints, I feel like?
Oh,
Jamal Williams?
Yeah, Jamal Williams.
Was that it?
I don't know.
That's him. Yeah. Yeah. Whoever it was, he's, I think, big into anime, right?
Yeah, because he did the intro.
Oh, yeah.
He did one of those intros, Swagage or something like that. I forget what he said.
I don't know anything. You could tell me anything about anime, and I believe you. I have not. I know Pokemon was done in the anime style. That's basically all I know about anime. So
one of the most shameful things I did when I was... Before I got this job, when I was in between jobs, when I got laid off at the last place and was on severance, so I was at home doing a lot of nothing, rewatched all of Dragon Ball Z and all the Attitude Era Monday Night Raws.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing with my time.
I was just watching a clip with Attitude Era where Stone Cold stole The Rock's car and then drove over it with a monster truck.
Yes.
It's like, man, those are the
best of times.
Quinn in the chat said, ask Tyvus, the Browns have a top five pick next year. Change that to when. If the Browns have a top five pick next year, are you taking a quarterback or J.J. Smith? I say J.J.
They're taking a quarterback. easily.
That's fine. Quentin says they should take Jeremiah Smith.
I'm sure I wouldn't be opposed of it, but if you're picking in the top five, you're definitely taking a quarterback.
Saying there's lots of Jeremiah Smiths out there.
Because if you're picking in the top
five. There's only one Arch Manning.
No, because if you're picking in the top five, that means that the quarterback battle, the quarterback room has been bad.
I get it.
And you need to get you a quarterback. This is the only chance you're going to get it.
No, I...
Unless you're going to sign...
The Browns, the only chance you're going to get. They're going to get another one the next year.
Unless you're telling me you're going to sign...
You're going to get Jeremiah Smith.
Like Mac Jones or something like that. Like
I'm just saying, man.
Like, that's where you'll be at. If you want to not... If you want to take JJ, that means you sign like a Mac Jones or one of those other quarterbacks that's become available.
I know what you're saying, and that's what they will do, but I kind of agree with Quentin that, like, I'd rather just go draft Megatron, Dupe 2.0. As opposed to, hey, let's get another quarterback who at best might be like Baker Mayfield and at worst might be Colt McCoy.
Then he'll be like, if you draft JJ, he'll have an Andre Johnson career where he would just...
No, but then the next year you go get it. Or I don't know. God forbid you go sign someone in free agency or you don't, I don't know, kick the can down the road until you open your stupid new stadium.
See who the upcoming quarterback free agency is.
Sorry, I got mad about quarterbacks. My response is supposed to be, well, whatever. That's what I need to say. Also, Chris in the chat, whatever. Thank you. What was your, Chris in the chat said, what was your first day arriving at NFL camp like? Were you happy? Was it surreal or was it just time to get to work?
Oh, it was time to get to work. I remember my first practice, like for camp, I, got a car ride with Earl Thomas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was walking out. So, you know, the rookies, they got like a bus for you to take. And Earl seen me. He was like, come on, I give you a ride. And we got in his Rolls Royce.
Okay.
And we played I Got the Keys off of DJ Khaled. He played it on repeat like three times
okay.
on the way there. And I was like, oh, yeah, we turned up for this.
So your welcome to the NFL moment was like a guy who was already established as being awesome.
Earl Thomas, yeah.
Said, hop in my Rolls Royce.
I got you. Come on.
And let's listen
ride with me. Yep,
my favorite song or the song I want to hear today on repeat.
Yep. We was rolling.
And that you were just like, oh no, it was just time to get to work.
Got out the car.
I guess I'll mention
dress and yeah.
That would be the only thing I would tell people about my first day. That's huge.
That's Earl.
Yes, but now you know him. But at the time, that had to be pretty crazy to show up there and just like, oh yeah, let me hop in the car with this dude I've been watching on Sundays. Now he wants me in the car.
I've known him because I was there for OTAs and all those things. At this time, Earl was the cool one. You know, this is prime beef with Sherm. And then Cam jumped in and got Sherm's side. So then I had beef with him. And then Brandon Browner also jumped in and took Sherm's side. So this rookie was going up against these three vets. Earl was the only one that was quiet. He didn't say nothing. Mm-hmm. So he was cool. The other three... It was on site. Like, if they said
something. Why did you guys have beef again? What was it?
Because I called Sherm's drink. I said it was a female drink. And Brandon Browner said.
Drink? Wait, what
it
did
was
he
a,
drink?
It was a caramel frappuccino. So that's for females. And so he gets upset and he goes at me and I'm talking. I said, Brandon Browner. Like, he was like, first of all, don't know. I get that same drink too, and no drink I get is for females. So then me and him go
ahead. So then, male and female. So then, you just drink whatever you want.
No. So then I'm sitting there having a full blown argument with them, and Cam come around the corner, and I say, Cam, you better get your boys because they liable to get dealt with. And he goes, get my boys. You better be lucky we don't jump you. And I looked at him and I said, all three of y'all can get it. What are you talking about? So it started like that. Meanwhile, Earl's sitting in his locker just getting ready for practice and all that, didn't engage. I said, Earl, cool in my book. The rest of you three,
I wish
y'all better watch y'all back.
I wish he had taken you in his Rolls Royce and was like, come on, Rook, let's go. And then drove you to McDonald's and got you two caramel frappuccinos. Like right there, that would have been just the best move ever. Be like, now shut up and get to work. Let's go. Who cares what they're drinking? Now's the time of year we pretend like college football coaches poll matters. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Got a few incidents that popped up in our screen from the newsroom. First up's going to be a crash in New Albany, 161 eastbound, just beyond 62. That right shoulder is closed. You're down to your 20s when it comes to your speeds out there. East Dublin Granville Road is a great detour for you out there. Also, a heads up just south south of Grandview Heights. We are still closely watching some debris on the roadway right now. 315 northbound ramp is a little bit restricted out there towards 33, so be mindful. Checking in on that traffic jam. We do see first responders out on the scene. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's Gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90 degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
One of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Tweet the program, at Bone and Tyvus 971. How do we want to give these tickets away? Seventh caller? What caller you want to do, Tyvus? I'll let you pick.
Let's go with number five.
Caller number five, 614-821-9710. Two tickets to see Zach Brown Band at Nationwide Arena on Friday, August 14th. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster.com. But if you are the fifth caller, you can win those two tickets now. Good luck. I saw that the WNBA up in Cleveland, they did their...
The reveal.
Reveal of the team name, which I think people kind of thought
they knew
the name.
Yeah. We can't, because I thought it was going to be the Rockers, and then all the... people in the media was telling me it was going to be the Sirens.
Oh,
so okay. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. I can get with that.
Sirens. Well, they kept doing this thing that was like, Columbus, hear the call. You know, hear the call.
Yes.
And so then people kind of started saying, oh, I bet it's going to be something related to Sirens, like the...
like the strip club here.
No, I don't...
that's not where you're going?
That's what they... like the Sirens in the Odyssey. There's sirens in that where you're not supposed to listen to them, apparently, which I don't think also is the... I don't get the branding on this thing. I'm going to be honest, either. But whatever. It's water-based something or others with the siren. Let them live. They got their own lore. I'm still a little bitter that we didn't get them here. Like, I feel like the WNBA team would have made way more sense here than it makes up in Cleveland, even though I know there's an NBA team in Cleveland, and that's probably why they're playing in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, I just wish they were playing here because I think this town would have absolutely supported women's basketball.
You know how those Cleveland natives are? They think they're like a beach city. So
yeah,
it
they
had
do.
To be a water related thing.
Tyvus, that's right. Where's it your is. Favorite? Where's your favorite beach, Tyvus? Where's your favorite beach in the world?
Edgewater.
Yeah.
That's no.
Yeah. That's a beach.
It is a beach. It cannot be the best beach in the world. You said it's the best beach in the world.
Why is it not? What does it not have that other beaches do?
Salt water, among other things.
They got lake water.
That's different. It's not the same.
Yeah. Listen, people stop. They stop littering and polluting the water.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. So it's good now.
Oh, they've done a lot to clean it up. I'm just saying it's not the Bahamas. It's not in December. I don't think it's like the Bahamas. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say when half the lake's frozen.
It got stuff that the Bahamas can't do.
Yeah, like walk on it.
Exactly.
Go fishing on it.
Exactly.
You can drive a four-wheeler out onto it and get stuck.
What is it, ice fishing? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, they go out there with the big drills and they cut a hole and they sit out there
people
and catch
perch. People
in the
Bahamas wish they could do something like that.
I don't think they do.
Tyvus is like, Turks and Caicos, never heard of it.
Edgewater Beach. Why we need to do that? Spend all this money at Turks when you can go right to Edgewater.
Yeah, you don't need to do that. By the way, tomorrow and Friday, we are going to be on location. We're going to be out at Buckeye practice. Camp is starting up. Tyvus and I will be out there on site, as you mentioned earlier. But I found out we have a couple guests booked already. Dylan did not book either of them, and that's fine.
I booked one last week, so I'm good for a while.
You did. I'm good for a while.
That's right. Tomorrow, joining us, I believe sometime in the 7 o'clock hour tomorrow, Ryan Day will join us live from camp as they get started. And then on Friday, I have asked for more than one segment just because I have a lot of questions for this man. We'll see if he is able to do it. Ross Bjork, we're going to talk to on Friday. So the AD of the Buckeyes, we will get both of those guys on tomorrow and Friday. So be tuned in, listen, and or don't. I'm just telling you that's what's happening, but we'll be there. Tyvus, the Buckeyes are number one in the coaches poll. What does that do for you?
I actually don't like that.
Why?
I like them not being one to start the season off because it makes you want to hunt instead of being hunted. You know, when you get the number one spot, some people get complacent. And I don't like that. I like to always be like chasing something. I'm steady trying to get better. Like they disrespecting us, so I got to go out there and prove them wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. I like that feeling. I don't like them just giving it to them, you know, like just here, you're the best team. And I feel like there's a lot of things, question marks about Ohio State. You lost a lot on the defense. You got a new offensive coordinator. Like, it's a lot there.
Yeah, I agree with you that I don't like them being number one.
I wanted
them
to be like Oregon or Texas or something like that. They didn't want to. Did we get 1-2 last year? Or was it?
Ended up being 1-3. Yeah.
Well, it depends on what ranking you were looking at.
They should have went 1-2.
Well, the AP rankings should come out and they could be 1-2. I don't know. Here's my whole thought is, if they need any motivation, I got the film for you. It's called Indiana and Miami. Go cut the tape on and go look at it, because you should want to be motivated to go out and do better than you did in those performances. And also, for a lot of these guys, they can look at that tape and say, I wasn't playing, because there were other guys ahead of me that were starting and playing the majority of the snaps, especially on defense. So if you need any motivation, I would hope it's there for you when you just look at the tape and go, I wasn't in that game, because the guys who were there, they're now in the NFL. So there are plenty of guys across this defense that need to step up. There are plenty of transfers in that have something to prove.
They tried to say that last year.
Yeah, and then those guys stepped up and largely, I think, did prove it. Now, of course, they didn't get the ultimate prize. They did beat Michigan, which is great. But I'm saying, like, the motivation factor should be there, regardless of if the coaches poll, which we all think is meaningless, thinks you're number one or not.
Do you think last year's season was a success?
Not
yeah.
this again.
No. I genuinely... listen.
No, I'm curious.
Success is defined by, did you accomplish your goals?
Okay.
Ohio State's stated goals that I didn't make up and you didn't make up, the goals that they made up mm-hmm. every year over there are beat Michigan, win the Big Ten title, compete for a national championship, I think is what they say. Compete.
I thought it said win.
Okay, win a national championship. But I'm saying I'll amend that to compete. Like, okay. Be in the fight. And what happened was you beat Michigan, which I take as a positive season for me. If you beat Michigan, okay. I will take that.
Okay.
However, they lost the Big Ten championship and did not advance out of the first round of their playoffs, right?
So that's when they lost Miami. They went 1-3, so it wasn't a success.
According to their standards, I would guess Ryan Day would say no.
So the year before that, when they won it all, that also wasn't a success because they went 1-3.
Tyvus, you're starting to sound a lot like people I know in the lunatic fringe, and I'm a fan of the fact that you're standing there with me in the lunatic fringe.
I bring it up because there was a portion of this fan base that said that, you know, the only thing they care about is beating the Wolverine. They don't care about national.
I'm one of those people.
So I wanted to know if you looked at last year as a success.
I feel really good about the fact they beat Michigan. And I think that they could have done more than they did against Miami.
But you feel empty. It feels like...
I feel like they should have beaten Indiana. They should have beaten Miami. Yeah. Okay. But I feel like beating Michigan was a massive thing that had to be done last year. And you know what? At least I have that. So I will take that. Yes. I feel very good about the fact that happened. Now, I think... Did they leave stuff... But Tyvus, did they leave stuff... Did they meet on the bone? 100%.
Well, they've done that for years.
Yeah. It's called high standards because it's Ohio State. It's not Ohio University. No offense to them. Right? It's not some other school we're talking about. We're talking about the Ohio State University.
Oh, yeah, we did.
They trademarked the.
I was about to say, did we do all three? Yeah, we beat the team on number one, Big Ten. Yeah, we did all three.
Anyway, yeah, the coaches polls out. You can go look at it. It's irrelevant. Go win your games. That's all I care about. All right, we'll come back, hit the huddle next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing a few more slowdowns out there, starting on the east side, just south of Reynoldsburg. We're talking 70 that westbound direction over by Bryce Road, just before you're hitting that 270 interchange. Also, a heads up, if you're heading towards the fair, expect some traffic. 71 southbound over by 17th Avenue, already pretty early on this Wednesday, too. Lastly, for our friends traveling, especially from Plain City to Dublin, a little bit slower, 33 in that eastbound direction as you're heading towards 270 out there in the Northwest. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Right.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Athletics 5-4 last night. Ellie De La Cruz and Sal Stewart scored the game-tying and go-ahead runs off wild pitches in the bottom of the eighth inning. The Reds will try to win three in a row when they play the A's tonight at 6:40. The Cleveland Guardians started their series with the New York Mets with a 6-2 loss yesterday. The Guards will try to bounce back against the Metropolitans tonight with first pitch also at 6:40. And finally, Ohio State offensive linemen Carson Hensman, Luke Montgomery, and Austin Sarrafield were all named to the 2026 Allen Trophy preseason watch list, while Kenyatta Jackson and Jalen McClain are on the Bronco Nagurski Trophy watch list. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Warmer weather, more time outside. Summer gives weight loss a head start. Awaken 180 gives you the plan to make it happen. The official weight loss program of summer. Breaking sports news right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Just a reminder, Tyvus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tyvus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tyvus.
Tyvus, tomorrow when I go out there, this is your old stomping grounds. Anything you want me to avoid doing so I don't embarrass you? Because, I mean, we're going out to the Woody, going out to the place where you made your name for yourself.
You can't embarrass me.
I try every day.
Nobody can embarrass me. I do that to myself. The only person that I can embarrass is myself and my wife, which I try to do in public a lot.
Well, see, I get that.
I think that's the job of every significant other, is to embarrass your other significant other in public.
I've gotten now to the point where I like to embarrass my kids, you know, where I just start.
You're doing that?
I try to do that all the time. Try to like just get, Dad, stop, Dad. Oh my God.
What do you be doing, T-Bone?
I'm just talking loudly, be like, what? What did you say? You gotta get those things with those warts on your toes? Is that, Dad, stop. They don't have warts on their toes. Just stuff like that. Yeah. Embarrassing.
I would 100% do that.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna try to do all the hip hop dances.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, the little TikTok dances. I'm gonna do it with the kids.
Yeah, when they start doing them, jump in. That's right. Oh, yeah. See, that's perfect. Yeah, that's tomorrow. We're going to be out there at the Woody. We will be there for start of camp tomorrow and Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. So make sure you tune in. We'll have Ryan Day on tomorrow.
By the way.
Sometime in the 7 o'clock hour.
By the way, I love the fact that all adults band together. This is the first time I've seen all adults join forces for one thing. To get rid of the 6-7 thing. I've never seen more adults buy in on it just to get it out the way. Let's do it. So the key is
everyone's playing. Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a while.
It feels like that's gone away now.
Exactly.
I think the real test is when school starts.
Well,
because
fair
they've
enough.
Been separated.
Yeah. Fair. God, that's true.
Conjugate again.
Yeah.
They're not doing that 6-7 stuff no more. It's done.
I don't know.
The parents won.
What is your oldest going
to first grade?
Yeah.
She in school every day. It's going to be a new world for her. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee.
Oh, does she do part-time kindergarten?
Two days a week, sometimes three.
Oh, man.
Every day. Every day.
A whole new world for that one. It's going to be fun. Yeah. It's that time of year. We are counted down to at least all the parents. I don't know about you guys, but I am like, I'm good. Like yesterday we went out, me and the kids, we went to the library, we walked around Marysville where we live, we got some ice cream, went to the park. No, we didn't go to Benny's. I wanted to get ice cream. I'm sure Benny's has something.
What's the ice cream place out there?
They have it's actually custard. It's a Witz.
Oh, Witz.
That's, we went to that. Yeah. And there's also like a coffee house and creamery that we went to. I got some coffee there, but yeah.
In the afternoon?
Tyvus, I don't know if you know this. I get up at 3 o'clock and then I was going all day and I was starting to drag a little bit, so I need a little caffeine.
What is the coffee going to do for you?
Wake me up.
No.
Yeah.
Put you some sunflower seeds.
I don't like sunflower. And I don't know. I've told you, I don't know how to use them. I can't do.
What is the time to learn?
No,
you're just going to go through life and I can't do it and just give up?
Yes.
What are we teaching the kids?
I never wanted to spit seeds out of my mouth. It's never been a thing.
It's cool. It's cool.
Because you can't do it everywhere.
Men spit.
Okay, so today we've learned men spit and pause and men spit and they don't drink caramel lattes, I found out. And so yesterday I spit no seeds and I drank a caramel latte. That's what I had, an iced caramel latte. I'll have you know, sea salt, as a matter of fact. That's what I did. Oh yeah, we gotta get into a little NFL talk, don't we? I almost forgot. We have a segment to do. It's called The Huddle. So let's make it.
The biggest questions in the NFL are answered right here. Welcome to The Huddle.
Sponsored by Advent. Go to AdventKnows.com. Because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better.
All right, Dylan Huddle, question number one.
All right, so we had the list earlier where it was executives that ranked the best and worst quarterbacks in the league. I found one that was odds makers. Who's best and worst against the spread? And I got to ask Tyvus, now that Josh Allen is also number one on this list, he has the most impact against the spread of any NFL quarterback. Will you admit that he's the best quarterback in the league?
No. care to elaborate?
No. Next question. Why would I say he's the best?
Because he has the most impact on the spread of any quarterback in the league.
Why? Because
he was a tier one in the list.
I'm not in the camp of rewarding somebody who digs themselves in the ditch and then have to be heroic to get themselves out of the ditch that they dug. I'm not that. No.
Why would I do that? Fernando Mendoza won a Heisman doing that.
No. I'm not. I don't think he's that great either. So, no. If you're putting those two in the same camp, then it's exactly my point. No.
That's very consistent, actually.
Until he goes out there and just completely dominates without getting his coach fired in a playoff that was rigged for him to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I'm not.
Yeah. Because his competition couldn't make the playoffs that year.
Yeah, they all got hurt.
But to
your point is, though, like, the road was there. The path was wide. We all said it last year. It's like, if he can't win one now.
Lost to Bo Nix.
Maybe he's never going to win one. And I tend to agree with you. I don't think he's the best quarterback. He's a very good regular season quarterback. He'll put up a lot of numbers,
all
that stuff.
He's good in the playoffs. I have no problem with that. He just got his coach fired. That's all. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys guess what his number against the spread is, like, how many points he's worth according to odds makers?
21. Is this per That's game or total?
Like, just how, if he 10. Were to, essentially, if he were to miss the game, how many points would the spread flip in favor of Buffalo's opponent?
Oh, like a field goal. I'll say a field goal.
7.23 points.
Really?
Good for him.
That's a lot.
Who's their backup?
Second.
Patrick Mahomes at 6.32 points, and then rounding out the top five, Matthew Stafford, Drake May, which I'm shocked
to see,
and Lamar Jackson at fifth. Finally, someone not disrespecting him.
I'm surprised. Like, but again, this is just a number that says this is what happens to the money in sports gambling when this guy doesn't play, which is essentially telling you what the average fan thinks when it comes to a guy not playing. So, to Tyvus's point, there's a lot of people who are average NFL fans who think, oh, yeah, Josh Allen's one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the league. Your opinion, Tyvus, is like, as a football player watching this, I don't see it. You don't see that level of.
I think
the public perception of him versus what actually is, you're saying, is
I think he's a good quarterback, but I also think that if you're worth anything, he's going to give you moments to seal the game. He's going to throw interceptions and all that. Then he's going to get mad and have to run the ball and then have this heroic second half where he comes back and win it. Like, that's what he does. And we applaud this, but if you didn't have a trash first half, you wouldn't have to have this crazy second half. If you just consistently was good for four quarters, you wouldn't be in this problem.
Yeah.
I think just to troll Tyvus, the Buffalo Bills are going to be my NFL team this year.
Good. I don't know who they – the DJ Moore thing does nothing for me.
I would go to their new stadium. I think that would be awesome. Maybe I would like to go see a game at their new stadium.
If it was inside, I would go.
As a fan, you protect it from the snow?
Yeah, you are. That's right. I want to go there, and I want to go to the new Northwestern stadium. Those look awesome. Huddle question number two, Dylan.
All right. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this story from Devontae Adams.
The kid, you know the story about the kid from the Jets, right? You ever hear about that? I told that story.
Which one?
Oh. They told me he wanted $1 million for it. I showed up when I first got to the Jets day one. I came in with my backpack, and I'm like, and it was the off day Tuesday, so a couple guys were in there. I'm like looking for him. I got $17,000 cash in my backpack, and I'm thinking like this ain't nothing crazy, but like certainly to give up your number as a rookie, like you ain't did shit yet.
Yeah.
Like it was week six, and I think he played four plays at that point. I'm like, you have no attachment to this right now.
Right.
I'll pay for your whole family to get new jerseys, whatever, you know, because they go out and spend their money on it. However many jerseys you need me to buy, I'll do that. And how about $17,000 for the number 17? He said.
So essentially, he was going to offer him $17,000 for the number 17, and the guy said he wanted $1 million.
No.
This is Malachi Corley, right?
Yes.
Who also plays for the Cleveland Browns right now. He's crazy, but it's funny. I would have told him, I would have said a million to joke to be joking with him at first. And then when he'd be like, I got 17,000, I'd have been like, you give me 20, it's yours. Yeah, he would have gave you the 20 for sure.
No.
But the fact that he missed out on $17,000 and he lost his number and then got cut or traded, he lost three times. Like that was it, for that was pointless. So
yeah, that's
he no, messed that up.
Yeah, you can't do that. All right, so there you go. Huddle. We have got a little ranking here of the top 40 most important college football players this season. I'll tell you which Buckeyes made the cut next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing a few more slowdowns out there. Starting on the east side, just south of Reynoldsburg. We're talking 70 that westbound direction over by Bryce Road just before you're hitting that 270 interchange. Also, a heads up, if you're heading towards the fair, expect some traffic. 71 southbound over by 17th Avenue. Already pretty early on this Wednesday, too. Lastly, for our friends traveling, especially from Plain City to Dublin, a little bit slower. 33 in that eastbound direction as you're heading towards 270 out there in the Northwest. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
transportation. Rockman and Ice.
I can get things done.
Go to the store, clean the house, whatever you got to do.
Play golf. Does that count as getting things done?
No.
Rothman and Ice, weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine here for today with a chance for a few showers and storms later on this afternoon, mainly east of Interstate 71. Otherwise, we'll see high temperatures into the upper 80s here for this afternoon. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Sometimes when Tyvus wears khaki pants, I can see the outline of his genitals. There's no joke there. It's just an observation.
God, the more I resist, the more intriguing they become. I can't look away.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, everything has become more expensive. We're all feeling it, and I can understand if you're sitting there saying, I need to get my windows fixed. It's been too long. I got a couple of them that are stuck. I can't get them unstuck. I got another one that doesn't even work right. All the air continually. I can't keep the air conditioner from stopping running this summer because all the air is leaking out of my windows. Window Nation has a solution for you. They are the ones you need to call. They're the real deal. You can get replacement windows and doors without the hassle when you go to Window Nation. And they've got a deal that'll help you with that cost effectiveness as well. You could get 50% off all window styles now through Window Nation. Plus, you can get zero down payment and no payments or interest for 2 years when you go with Window Nation. And talking about value, experts say when you put new windows in your house, it helps retain 80% of the value from when you install them. That is what it brings to the value of your house. Plus the energy bills, everything else. With energy efficient windows from Window Nation, you're going to be feeling that a lot better as well. So check them out today, windownation.com, to schedule your fast free consultation. The experts from Window Nation will walk you through the process. And when they come out to put your new windows in, they'll get the job done in a day. So you have minimal displacement to your daily life. Windownation.com to set up your fast free consultation. That's windownation.com. I don't know if you want to talk
about I am ecstatic about tomorrow.
Going out to the Woody?
Yeah, I love to see you. Like obviously the NFL football has kicked off and all that, but like that's 2 hours away from us. Like
yeah.
The Browns, 2 hours away, Cincinnati, Bengals 2 hours away, yeah. Whatever. So like to have it like right here, the access to see it up close, I'm excited. I really want to know. I am curious about the other receiver outside of JJ and Brandon Ennis. Who's that next guy? That is one question mark I have. And I'm really excited about Devin Sanchez this year. I really believe in my heart that when the season ends, that Devin Sanchez will be the best corner on the team.
I mean, that's what was projected, right, when he first came here.
Well, I mean, he was the number one corner.
Yeah.
But like last year, they went after him. Boy, it was blood in the water.
Yeah.
I really believe. I'm glad that happened to him because it made him lock in this offseason. And from what I've seen in the spring, if he continues to climb and have progression, he will be a really good corner.
Well, that's where I feel like, and I saw this list from ESPN. They rank their top 40 most important college football players this season. Okay. And I was going through the list, and like this list, just to be clear, is not saying who's the best in college football. Like down, way down this list, I found Jeremiah Smith's name, and I'm like, well,
clearly he is one of the most important players in college football, but their whole argument is, you know, they put some quarterbacks there who have like have to step up and take that next step, right? We'll get to those guys in a second. But one of the interesting names I saw on this, to this point about like guys you mentioned that you're interested to see, like Brandon Innes, they put as one of the most interesting players in college, one of the most important players in college football.
Yeah.
Because we all know what Jeremiah Smith can do. But last year with Carnell Tate, I don't think NFL people underrated what he did, even though in the draft process, some people tried to shoot him down. He went fourth overall, and everything you're seeing looks awesome.
That man, he looked like he going to win Offensive or Rookie of the Year.
Right, right.
He up there balling. I got to get him in fantasy this year.
Well, and we saw when he wasn't on the field how different the offense looked last year.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah Smith was hurt during some of those games, too, so he wasn't at 100%. But, like, it cannot just function as Jeremiah Smith is awesome and then all the other receivers can just be, like, replaceable.
Yeah.
You have to have someone else who is still really, really good. And Ohio State should have that, but Brandon Innes, does he step up and become that guy or not?
Well, I think that if you listen to just some of the stuff that the coaches were talking about in the spring and some of the receivers talking, you know, this has been wide receiver U for some years now. And they were asking, I think they was asking JJ about what's the next step? Like, how do y'all get better as a unit? And JJ spent a lot of time talking about yards after the catch, you know, catching the ball and making guys miss and then, you know, getting yards that way. Instead of just running routes all the time, like throw them a drag route or a screen and let them do something with it. Well, when I think about Brandon Innes, I think that's more of his strong suit. So if they're going to equip that to the offense, that's a way to get Brandon Innes going. That can make him important. Now you got a guy who can beat you shallow that can also beat you over the top with JJ. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'd be interested to see how much that's incorporated into the offense, if they are going to run a lot of crossing routes and stuff like that just to get the ball in Brandon Innes' hands and allow him to use his physical stature to be able to make plays.
Yeah. Another group that I'm interested to see tomorrow, we go out there. You mentioned defensively, you know, a cornerback. You're very curious about Devin Sanchez, which is right. I'm also interested in this defensive line.
Yeah.
So you got some transfers in, James Smith and or
did
John Walker.
Did you see a picture of him that went viral?
The James Smith picture? I don't know if I did.
It was a picture where I don't know if it was AI or if it was really him, but they was like, this dude, Coach Mick, they got him right. It was like the dudes of the week or something. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I was like, yeah, he should be pretty good.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, well,
you see it?
Yeah, I do see it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it. We'll see what that, I mean, we'll see what happens on the field, right? But like the transfer, I just in general think like ESPN had both those guys on their top 40 most important players in college football. And I feel like you could just amend that to all the transfers that have come in for Ohio State, but certainly on that defensive line, like you're replacing a lot of talent yet again at every level of this defense. So they decided in the portal that was the way to go to help fix the defensive line specifically.
Well, what I like about it is you lost to two different styles of D-line play. You had Indiana, who schematically pretty much caused a bunch of confusion and got a lot of pressure that way. And then you went up against Miami, who physically had some dogs on there, and physically they kind of beat you that way. So the Buckeyes was able to see, all right, two different styles. So because you don't necessarily, people be like, oh, you got to have this tough guy. He's got to be this to win. And you saw two different styles be effective on the defensive line to cause havoc. So I'm interested to see, judging by what they did in the portal and recruiting, do they think they can just physically just one-on-one beat people like that? Or is there going to be more confusion on the offensive line? I'm here for both.
Yeah, I hope. I don't care which way they do it. I just hope defensively this team brings that chaos that you're talking about that gets in the quarterback's face, makes it tough on him. And look, James Smith was capable of that when he was at Alabama. John Walker also seemed to do that at UCF. So. Yeah. I don't need both of them to do it. I just need one of them to. You know what I mean? And then also, I need the guy who's wearing number two to actually, you know, he's good, right? But this is another step up for Kenyatta to show what he can do in that number two jersey. Like, that's a big deal.
Double digits. Double digit sacks.
Yeah, that's a prediction.
I'm not accepting nothing less than double digit sacks.
Well, I mean,
I'm not accepting.
Hang on. I'm saying when you say not accepting, or what? Kick him off the team? What do you mean?
It was a mistake giving him two.
Oh, okay. All right. That's the expectation you put on when you wear that jersey.
He did it to himself.
There's a lot of guys who wore that number two jersey. And I, on the offensive side now, I believe, because he wasn't healthy during
spring. Bay.
He'll be healthy, right? He should be out there.
He should be.
Yeah. So I'm. That's another guy on the offensive side. Because that running back room, we've got questions. So that's a guy I'm looking forward to seeing in person tomorrow.
I got
to
make people miss in the secondary. They do a great job. The offensive line did a great job of getting them to the second level. It's up to those running backs to make that safety miss or that corner miss and finish the play. Like, I felt like it was a lot of meat on the bone left on the bone last year.
By the way, I saw our guy Reflog post this. He posted it just a few hours ago that it was 3 years ago today that old Jose Ramirez slid into second base.
Fought Tim
Anderson. And Tim Anderson from the White Sox was standing over him, and they had a little couple words, and then...
That's crazy that he really went to sleep. Like,
oh, he really went to sleep. That video is too good of him and Tim Anderson. And what I think is even more jarring about, like, the fact that Tim Anderson was in that video is Jose Ramirez is still one of the best players in Major League Baseball when healthy. Although I saw... Just had a little soreness in his wrist, right? Wasn't that the latest thing? Or was it his hand?
What did he injure? I forget what he injured.
Hand or wrist?
He was coming back from the injury, whatever it was.
Yeah. Well, either way, you know, he still went healthy, one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
Tim Anderson, I think, is out of baseball at this point. Or if he isn't, he's out of the major leagues.
He had like some baby mama drama or something like that.
Did he really?
Like the last I heard of him.
That's bad.
Yeah, it was some weird thing going on. I can't even really recall what it was, but I believe the two women he was dealing with kind of went at it on social media, and he was like in the middle of it type thing.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that
never goes well.
It was. Yeah.
By the way, Jose Ramirez, he was out of the lineup last night against the Mets with soreness in his. It was his left hamate surgery that he had. On his hand, so that's left wrist inflammation. That's what he had yesterday that kept him out of the lineup against
Riley Reed.
Why did that play?
I don't know. Why did that play?
Oh, sick.
Why did that play? Who knows? I'm just saying, like, that. How'd that go last night for your guys, Tyvus? How'd the guards look last night against the Mets?
What's the next thing coming up?
Get to the teases.
Yeah, what's the next thing?
You go ahead, up? You tease it. What's happening next?
Are the Jackets moving? We'll talk about that soon.
2 minutes away. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
On the north side, if you're heading towards Dublin, we are seeing a crash 270 in that westbound direction. When you're passing Sawmill Road, that right shoulder is currently blocked up ahead. Also, a heads up closer towards that west side, just south of Hilliard, we do have a disabled vehicle affecting that 70 westbound ramp to 270 north, so expect some lane closures and, yes, some delays out there. Lastly, some better news for our friends traveling 315 northbound. That ramp officially back open towards 33 after we received some debris out on the road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Outcome. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. T-Bone watched Tyvus Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
I'll tell you this. I feel like the NHL writers and a lot of the people who cover the NHL, they just picked this offseason specifically to say, let's throw all journalistic integrity out the window and let's just say whatever we want to about the Blue Jackets. Because they've done that with Zach Werenski. It feels like this offseason feels like they've thrown that stuff out there. They keep trying to put Kirill Marchenko on the Canadiens, even though that apparently every time they ask the Jackets, they're like, no, we haven't talked to anyone about trading him in weeks.
When do training camp start for them?
I think it's September.
Okay.
I mean, we're still a ways away from that. Although the season does start. The season starts in September this year, right?
Like, yeah, there's preseason games in September.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be here before you know it.
Will Adam Fantilli have a deal done before September?
Oh, my God. Trust me. Of course, I think you have every right to criticize this Jackets team. I do. A lot of people do. I just feel like some of the things that are being done in the NHL media specifically, it's not actual reporting. It's just vibes. You know what I mean? Like this thing came out yesterday where It was this report that was linked. I saw it on Yahoo Sports, which shout out to Yahoo Sports. I'm glad they still exist. I forget from time to time that they do. But the article that I saw on Yahoo Sports was Bettman's next nightmare. Relocation whispers are now swirling around a certain NHL team. It all comes from veteran NHL insider Jimmy Murphy saying that the Blue Jackets might be heading down the same path as the Arizona Coyotes. And then he goes on in his report to say, I hope I'm wrong because it's a great city and a great fan base, and I don't really have any hard evidence here. I don't have anything that I'm actually reporting. I'm just telling you it feels bad. And I...
So they need an article, and that's what he came up with.
Yeah, it feels like there's nothing to report there other than they could be going down this road. Now, if you want to read the tea leaves and say, Jackets lost their regional sports network, right? They're no longer on... whatever the latest iteration of FanDuel TV, was that what it's called last time?
Yeah.
Like, they're not on that anymore, so whatever revenue was coming from that is gone.
Nobody's on that, is
it? I think it's gone. Yeah. But some of these other teams they were on other networks. They're on, like, different networks. They have different TV deals that are still paying them. Mm-hmm. Jackets don't have that now. So they lost that revenue stream. The NHL is going to take over their broadcast. They immediately go to cut their radio broadcast team with Bob McElligott and Jeff Svoboda, no longer going to be with the team either. Jackets insider, his last day I think is this week. So those signs are being pointed to as, see, they lost this TV contract, they immediately cut some of their visible faces of the organization. Clearly they're hurting for money. Maybe that's the case, maybe not. But I will say this with the McConnell family, like, I think it's one thing to speculate if they will sell the team. I do not think this team is moving if it's sold. And I'm not saying that a sale is imminent or anything like that, but I keep telling people, if they ever go to sell this team, and I wish they would, if they ever go sell this team, I tend to think the first people in line will be the people who own another pro sports team here in Columbus. They own a team up in Cleveland. They own a basketball team in Milwaukee. I would have to think Chasm Sports Group would be one of the first people that would get contacted.
The same people that traded Miles and Giannis in the same offseason.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's what they did. Now, I'm just saying, I don't think those people are moving the team, is what I'm telling you. I think they would be happy to. If they bought it, I think they would own it and keep it here.
Would they buy the team this year and then also move Zach Werenski to add to the trifecta of moves?
God, I hope not. Look, again, the Blue Jackets are not for sale as far as we know, and they're not coming for sale anytime soon. But I don't know. A change in ownership wouldn't be the worst thing for me as a Jackets fan. I feel like we've had 25 years of this ownership group, and it's been largely nothing. So, not that I want to take that risk, because you do risk there, someone buying it that wants to move it.
They're on the cusp of greatness.
Are they?
Yeah.
Are they on the edge of glory?
They're right there.
I wish they were. I'd love to see it.
It's right there.
Is the cusp of greatness getting the last wild card spot in the playoffs? Is that what you're saying?
All you need to do is get in, okay, and anything can happen
you know what that is.
You just got to get in.
That's loser talk.
All you got to do is get in.
No.
Who won it last year?
Carolina.
What was they?
They were one of the best teams in the league all year. They were really good.
And they've been good for multiple years.
They've been good.
They're knocking on the door.
The teams that won it the last couple years before that was both. Dang. Vegas was really good.
Okay, but like.
Before that, Florida Panthers were really good.
I hear what you're saying, but like, they wasn't as good as Colorado or the Dallas Stars.
Okay, but all of those teams, when you talk about being on the cusp of greatness, like, okay, the Stars, I think that would be an organization where you could say they might be, like, getting to a point. And didn't they, am I wrong, Dylan? Did they win a Stanley Cup, like, in the last few years? Am I making that up?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, I thought they did. Anyway, the point is,
I work for the Blue Jackets, so when the regular season ends, I don't pay attention to hockey anymore.
All right. I'm just.
They won the cup in 99.
Oh, then I'm thinking
the Buffalo Sabres.
But they've been pretty good, and they've been, you know.
They make the playoffs every year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All right. They won the conference championship in 2019-2020 season. So that's what I was thinking of.
Titus, the last team to really come out of nowhere and win the cup was St. Louis.
Yeah,
so why can't we be St. Louis?
Because that's how rare it happens.
Why can't we be St. Louis?
Well, but St. Louis, here's what they did that year. Didn't they fire their manager midway through and then also switch goalies? Am I wrong?
So did we.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I know. And I'm saying, if you want to believe that narrative, that like, oh yeah, by switching last year, we almost got to the playoffs. And if we got in, they could have made a run.
They could have. You know what messed them up? The Olympic break.
Yeah, they were hot before that, man.
That's fine. I'm just pointing out that
messed it up.
This team, is not on the edge of greatness. They're on the cusp of like being maybe sort of relevant if they could get into the playoffs a few years in a row and start to make some noise. But I would rather be a team, and I think this is where most Jackets fans' frustration is that you've not actually been a team that gets to they don't get a spot that is locked up before the last week of the season. They have to win out and get a whole bunch of results to try to sneak into the playoffs for the eighth seed. They're not a top three seed.
They could be. I feel like they
and I could run a marathon, but it's not likely right now.
I think that honestly, this year is I think it's a franchise defining year.
Why do I
say that? Because I think with Bones, I think that you got him for 1 year. I think he'll have a great camp and he'll lay a solid foundation.
I hope so.
And I think that given the fact that they'll have more time with him and have such a solid foundation, I think they start the season off better than they have in years prior, right? So if they do go into a slump, because it's going to happen, like it's inevitable, they're going to go into a slump. It won't be as much of a slump that takes them out of the playoffs. I think that they still find a way to lock up one of those wild card spots. But I don't ultimately think that Bones is going to take them to the promised land. I think that's for the next guy.
No.
But I think Bones will get them a great foundation.
I hope so. I mean, that was the goal when he came in.
They've done nothing this offseason, and they missed the playoffs. But you have faith that they're going to get better and somehow make the dance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but again,
all right.
To your point, Tyvus, the last 2 years, they've been very, very close, and then they collapse down the stretch, and they don't get the job done.
I don't think that they believed in themselves.
Fine.
I think when you look at the Jackets, I think they got the talent. I think there is talent there. I just think that guys don't believe that they're one of the best in the hockey league, like the team. Like, it's like they fall into the pits. It's like where the Browns are, where you got pieces that's really good. You got players that can compete toe to toe. So like when Bones came in last year and they was beating some of these better teams, it was like, oh, wow, we actually are really good and we can hang with some people like that. I think if you get that same mentality to start the season off and you start off hot, now in your mind, it's like, oh, well, we already, you know, we one of the best. We believe it more till, like, it comes as a surprise later in the year. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think, it makes sense to me in my head.
I hope you're right. I look at it as, like, this could have been year three of them being in the playoffs, being battle-tested, and now we could have expectations of, like, maybe they can compete for, like, getting to the conference finals or something. Instead, we're looking at a team that still hasn't figured out how to get to the playoffs, let alone win in the playoffs.
Half the problem was they had a coach who didn't like Christmas movies.
Yeah. Not my guy, Dean Evason.
They did. I forgot about that. By the way, do we have a fan poll up yet?
Yeah, I threw one up.
What do we have today? Brought to you by JT's Pizza Pub, the fan poll.
Do you like that the Ohio State Buckeyes are ranked number one in the coaches poll?
There you go.
Hated.
Go vote on that.
Hated.
What's the consensus right now?
Right now it's 54.5% yes. Mm. So pretty tight.
See, Tyvus.
They're conning themselves.
Maybe. By the way, the Crew got it done last night in Leagues Cup, which is when the MLS teams play teams from Mexico.
They had their best goalie out there.
They had your neighbor out there, Nico Hagan, who's a good goalie. I like him as a backup for the Crew, but he was out there. He got to start. Some of the backups got to play yesterday. They win 3-1 over Atlas. I believe their next game in that League's Cup is on Friday. And for those of you who are wanting me to explain League's Cup to you, just know that I think it's stupid too. But it is here, and it's a championship that they could go win. But they basically play an in-season tournament against teams from Mexico. They pause their season after had a 2 month or a month and a half pause for the World Cup. Don't ask me why MLS does this stuff. It's stupid. But they play again, I believe, on Friday against Pachuca, which is a much better team from Mexico. So, hey, good to see the Crew dominating Atlas yesterday, 3-1. My guy Taha Habrun making plays, doing good things. We'll come back. We'll hit the buzzer next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Looking at a new crash on our southwest side. Here we go. 270 westbound. A little bit slower moving, just passing 23. And as you're heading towards places like Grove City, expect some delays. That left shoulder is currently blocked. Also still watching some delays and slowdowns for our west side drivers. If you're traveling downtown right now, that crash, 70 eastbound, just passing Wilson Road. That right shoulder is closed and backups now extending over towards 70 at Hillier. Rome Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
44.
The Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
When life gives you lemons, Tyvus will be there to ask if he can have some lemonade and borrow your car. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining the program, everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Bo Bishop. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
Oh, it's lovely. By the way, I have umbrage to take with you. You told young Mr. Dylan not to watch season two of The Wire.
I did.
Oh, what a fool are you?
What does it have to do with the rest of the show?
You don't. It's out of your depth.
No, I get it. It understands where they get their. It's the plug. Obviously, the Greeks is the plug.
Star, but the like star the rest of the it show.
Is, oh my God!
Is the city? The story is about the city.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
it is. It's about drugs.
don't you remember Lester? If you follow the drugs, you get drugs and drug dealers. You follow the money, you don't know what the heck you're going to get.
Yeah, that's true.
By the way, story Uncle Bo, is the city.
I did not listen to Tyvus. I have smart. Been zooming through season two and have enjoyed it. So
see?
Thanks
for smart. Because all the pieces matter.
It's abrupt. It's a very snowy season. Let's just say that.
Abrupt to go from what it was. I remember going to season two and being like, wait, are we watching the same
show?
That's
exactly how I felt, right? I'm like, they ain't got nobody for season
What is this? Where are all these people? Where'd they come from? It's great, though. It holds up.
I wonder if that threw people, Bo, like when the show, like when it came out, where it was like, well, tune in next week to see if they ever tie this together versus like now, like how Dylan's watching it, where you can just. Okay, I'm not sure where this is going, but I just watched five of them. Let me, you know,
point out of you.
Like I don't know how that played back when it first aired versus now. Maybe it's a little easier for people who are shocked by that to either just kind of watch it and just deal with that, as opposed to I could have seen myself back in the day. I didn't watch it when it was out live, like as it was coming out. But if I had seen it at that point, season two, I may have just been after three episodes. Like I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just going to wait till someone tells me about something good happening in this episode again.
And you also, by the way, would have waited at least a year for season two, and you would have had to wait 7 days between episode airings.
Right.
Like, I was when he was going through Sopranos, I was telling him that. I'm like, dude, you realize, like, one of these years, I waited 2.5 years for seasons because they had the writer's strike?
See, I hate that because you forget what happened.
It's like, holy cow, this is forever ago that this aired. Yeah. So, it's just a totally different timeline, totally different experience.
What do we have like that? I mean, I guess we have movies.
Yellowstone. That's Bones thing. I mean, Bo's thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know, and like I get that, but I'm saying like when a new album comes out from a band that I really enjoy and I've been looking forward to, and now with Instagram they'll tease like here's a little snippet of a song, and we're only 17 weeks away from this album coming, and you're like, okay. So when it finally gets out, I've got a lot invested in like, okay, I want this to hit, so I'm going to give it every opportunity because of prior enjoyment.
Yes.
Sopranos, shows like this, like The Wire, when you had a good experience with it and then it waited a year for it to come out,
that's not even
I think you would give it more of a chance than now where you're like, I skimmed through this real quick on a weekend.
A year is like typical now, like that's standard.
Yeah, I'm saying, but a lot of shows that people watch, they watch it like this, where they're bingeable, or the whole season comes out at once, and you may, after a couple episodes, be like, this sucks, and then you're just done. You don't have to wait on it and give it that time to be like, well, I need this to be good. I have to, like, stick with it, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. Sometimes I like to let episodes stack up, because if it's good, it's hard to wait a week. Like, I need it now. So, like, I like to let things pile up for a couple of weeks and then watch them back to back.
Well, we always use the line, like, the only things that aren't DVRable are sports you care about. And I used to use Game of Thrones because it was only on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you couldn't watch the next episode. You had to watch it Sunday at 9 o'clock, and that was it. And if you didn't watch it live, then it would probably be ruined by somebody because it was such a phenomenon at that time. Now, so many of the models are, like, just give them the whole season. So, I mean, I think HBO still does it with theirs. Like, they're just on Sundays, and that's it.
Ain't House of Dragons going?
Yeah, it's right once now? A week. Yeah.
Are you watching that?
Yeah, begrudgingly.
Yeah, yeah, I quit it. I'm not going to lie, though. I was a huge fan of Game of Thrones, and then I quit House of Dragon. I couldn't do it.
The most recent season of it is pretty good. The second season was an unmitigated mess. The second one's been pretty good. When you get old like me, you look for something that you can watch with your wife. So that's like our 1 hour of quiet time.
Yes.
Is like that. Yeah. So, I try to always make sure we have something going, but it's been harder and harder. There's so much stuff out there and it's so niche. Right? Like, there's nothing that's really taken off in the way that those shows did. Like, the ones that I've told Dylan to watch, Mad Men, you did Mad Men, Sopranos, and now The Wire.
Yep.
Like, there wasn't a whole lot on. I mean, think about, like, the Breaking Bad phenomenon. How many shows were on at that time? Like, Sons of Anarchy was on FX, and so there was some of that stuff, and HBO had something. It was kind of like three houses with FX, HBO, and whoever the other one was at that time, AMC. But now it's just the streamers just keep pumping stuff out there. I couldn't tell you what's a big hit on Netflix.
I would say Stranger Things is close to that old
that's
elk.
Probably
and they
it.
Release them fair. In like 3 to 5 episode, series, and then make you wait for the next few.
Okay, yeah. There's one then.
Fair. Yeah. Tomorrow, Bo, we all head out. Your show, our show, will be out there at first day of camp for Ohio State. You ready for it?
Yeah, I guess I'm excited, man. Like I often say that nobody does Friday, Saturday, Sunday better than the state of Ohio when it comes to high school, college, and then on the pro model. So, NBC is a weekend to 2-a-days now. Like, he's rocking and rolling. The Browns have been going for a little while, and so I'm excited to see. I love this one. Like, this is one of the ones I love being out and seeing all the people. Love seeing you guys. Love getting our eyes on this team. Firsthand. I just think it checks every box for me.
Are you ready to declare your starting Browns quarterback?
Well, yesterday, you were there too. I mean,
is it Dylan Gabriel out of nowhere?
Dylan!
He's pretty good at getting up to the line of scrimmage and getting the playoff. I guess maybe that's where he's at. Mm-hmm. He did get some run with the one offensive line again yesterday. Yesterday was a Shadur day, and I thought Shadur got, like he has, I don't know if it was like this Saturday, Tyvus, when you were up there, but, As the practice goes along, Shadur gets better.
Yes.
He kind of warms up as it goes along. Unfortunately, there are first and second quarters in NFL games, so you can't really do that in NFL games, but I think he gets better and better. I think he's the only, all the practices, I've only missed one. I missed the one on Saturday. He's the only one that will drive it down the field. Will take shots.
Yep. I've seen the same thing.
The other two, it's check down. And I was talking to Bernie about this yesterday, and I said, is it one of those things where as a quarterback, when you're in a competition, you're so fearful to make mistakes that it almost retards your process a little bit? And he said it can do that, but it should be the opposite. That really what Deshaun and Shadur should be doing is taking shots, because what Monk wants to see is who can actually operate this offense. Like, they had a red zone series 2 days ago, guys, where not once did the ball go into the red zone. They didn't throw it into the end zone. Everything was checked, both quarterbacks. Jeez. Everything was underneath, checked down. It was like, well, what are we doing? Like, at some point, we got to take a shot at some point. And Shadur at least is willing to do that a little. To me, it feels like he would be leading if you got to pick one.
Yeah. Penn State, 20 most interesting.
That's man.
A lot
new
there.
Day dawns.
Yeah. It's going to be something to watch. So you guys have that coming up today on the show. What else do you have?
We'll do that. I don't know what's going on with the Blue Jackets. Are they moving? Did I read that? I saw you. I'm like, God, I'm going to bed last night. I open up the X and I see you quote tweet something from the NHL. I'm like, what the hell?
Well, and
what's going on?
I'll say this. I feel like the tea leaves all point to Rhodes north of here. If someone were ever to buy this team, I think it would be someone who already owns a team in Columbus, owns a team in Ohio that plays football up north, and a team that, is out in Milwaukee just ran. Like, there's a difference between selling and moving. So I think those are things that are getting confused if that were to ever happen. But yeah, it'll be a good discussion. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Have some fun, boys. Enjoy your first Friday.
Thank you, Bo. Appreciate it.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on train systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
Well, we missed the anniversary by a day yesterday, 20 years ago, August 4th, 2006. You know what movie hit the theaters here in America?
Pearl Harbor.
Nope. It was a ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Oh,
Talladega Nights. And I know how much you guys love Will Ferrell. So I thought I would make sure we take the proper moment to highlight one of his greatest films.
It's a good movie, though.
Directed by Adam McKay.
It's a good movie.
Of course, featured John C. Reilly. Sacha Baron Cohen is the driver who came in. Gary Cole. Michael Clark Duncan. Jane Lynch. Amy Adams. Just a who's who in this very stupid, but I thought very funny movie.
He was on top of the world.
Shout out to Talladega Nights. 20 years ago. I can't believe it's been 20 years.
I don't know what you can't believe.
I feel very old. That's what I can't believe. That's it for us. Bishop and Friends coming up next. Have a great Wednesday. We will be out at Ohio State tomorrow and Friday, 6 to 9 a.m., so make sure you tune in. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Now looking at a 9-minute delay if you're traveling on 33 in that westbound direction. This crash happening just after 6:15 this morning involving one person. And, of course, we do have an injury hospital transport. So this is all happening south of Lancaster over by the Sugar Grove area at Old Logan Road. You can expect that crash. All lanes still blocked this morning. That's been that way for the past 2 hours or so, that detour. Getting off 33, taking Old Logan Road, and from there, Sharp Road, and eventually back westbound on 33. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic. Have a